Glasgow.
And I'm LBC's George Ike. I've been at a vigil in Birmingham.
In other news, how millions of car finance customers could get £700 each. The Conservative conference, Robert Jenrick, his claims about Handsworth, our reporter, walked the streets and what did he discover? Ahead of that make or break speech for Kemi Badenoch, it's been a laugh a minute up in Manchester. Here's Chris Chucklesfilt, the Home Secretary.
Labour spent their conference plotting to replace Keir Starmer, who believes nothing, with Andy Burnham, who apparently believes anything.
Yes, you can hear the wind blow through there. Plus, happy 40th birthday to the greatest musical ever.
Bring him home.
Happy birthday, Les Miserables. 7 o'clock news on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, prosecutors have claimed a major spying trial collapsed because the government refused to label China an enemy. The case against Christopher Berry and former parliamentary researcher Christopher Cash was dropped last month. LBC's Fraser Knight has more.
When the case against Christopher Cash and Christopher Berry, who both denied wrongdoing, was dropped, there was criticism from both Downing Street and a number of MPs. But the Crown Prosecution Service said it was because the government hadn't given it the evidence it needed to take the case forward. In order to prove the charges, prosecutors would need to show that the pair were acting for an enemy, which means that ministers, at the time of the alleged offence, needed to agree that China posed a national security threat to the UK.
Sir Keir Starmer's insisted the case was based on the previous government's assessment of Beijing. Students rejected warnings from senior politicians as they held pro-Palestinian rallies yesterday. They'd been urged to think again before demonstrating on the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks in Israel. Kemi Badenoch will focus on the public finances when she closes the Conservative Party conference later. The Tory leader will say her plans for immigration, employment and policing all require a strong economy. LBC's political editor Natasha Clark is in Manchester.
She will reveal a new golden rule for the next Conservative government. For every pound saved, half will go to cutting the deficit and the other half will go to cutting taxes or spending in order to try and boost the economy. She'll also announce plans to reform the higher education sector, doubling apprenticeship funding, backing high-value courses for young people. But Labour say today that the pledges aren't worth the paper they're written on. Natasha Clark for LBC in Manchester.
Sir Keir Starmer's arrived in India with a group of senior British business leaders. The two-day trip to Mumbai follows the signing of a trade deal with his counterpart Narendra Modi earlier this year. But the Prime Minister's resisted calls to set up new visa routes for Indian workers. Jaguar Land Rover is set to resume some of its manufacturing later after a shutdown caused by a cyber attack. Thousands of staff are due to return to work at several sites in the West Midlands and on Merseyside. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 94.83 after closing up four yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.15. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places. A few light showers in the northwest. A high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays, make money work for you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 3 minutes after seven, Wednesday, October the 8th. In many cases with their faces covered or with masks, students took to the streets chanting, "Long live the Intifada, from the river to the sea," causing concern not just for our fellow Jewish students, but many Jewish people still in mourning after the synagogue attack. Why couldn't they have taken one day off? We'll look at that in more detail. plus into the world of motoring. Did you once buy a car on finance? Well, get ready, get into gear for a possible £700 payment. Nikhil Ratti is the chief executive of the FCA, Financial Conduct Authority. He says,
now what's important is that we provide certainty for everybody involved and that the firms cooperate with us in building the best possible compensation scheme.
One of the people found guilty of the racist murder of Stephen Lawrence begs for his family's forgiveness as he tells of his role in the murder, but still refuses to name the others who helped him commit that heinous crime. In London, we go from
Mind the Cat
as fur flies over whether people could take their cats on the underground and actually let them out of their baskets. I'm going to ask a question I've never asked before. Have you ever seen a cat on the tube? Plus,
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really want as big as they can.
Well, I really wanna want a little bit of what a Spice Girl gets. She's still banking millions all those years on. We'll explain why. And back to the laugh a minute Shadow Home Secretary's performance at the Conservative conference. Chris Philp, he's a Home Secretary. He brought the house down with his gags.
And I turned to my wife and I said, in your wildest dreams, did you ever imagine you'd be leaving a general election count with your husband having just been elected as a Member of Parliament? She turned to me and replied and said, in my wildest dreams, you don't feature.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
It's even worse if you watch it on video, by the way. If you think that's bad enough, just look at it. Are we in the serious side, of course? Kemi Badenoch, the big speech today. We are going to look ahead to that. What does the Conservative leader need to say? If you recall, I challenged her yesterday since she took over. It's almost a year now. They've gone from 26% to 16% in the polls. They've hemorrhaged around 10,000 members, and they've lost north of 100 council seats. What does she need to do? But let's start with, actually, what Mrs. Badenoch said to us, what the Prime Minister also said, the Home Secretary, Education Secretary, asking for students just to take the day off from those demonstrations. But they were not heeded. Thousands of students have been branded abhorrent for joining pro-Palestine marches across the country to mark the second anniversary of the Hamas attack on Israel, chanting slogans such as, Long live Palestine, or From the River to the Sea, or Long live the Intifada. They took to the streets, and in some instances, there were confrontations and clashes. Our reporters covered it nationwide. First, let's go to Joseph Draper. He was at a university march in London. Joseph, good morning.
Morning, Nick. Well, I was following hundreds of students through central London for pro-Palestinian walkouts at four universities. It started at King's College, ended at SOAS, waving Palestinian flags, chanting From the River to the Sea. Now, as you say, that's despite those calls from the Prime Minister, from senior Tories, for them to be called off, calling them anti-British, insensitive, coming, of course, on that crucial anniversary of that brutal terror attack on October the 7th, when Hamas killed over 1,000 Israeli Jews, taking hundreds hostage. And yesterday evening, mask-wearing protesters marched on Whitehall, blocking Tower Bridge, letting off flares, calling for an end to Zionism, as they called it. That protest organised by a group called Intifada 87. Now, I spoke to many of the student protesters yesterday. Many of them claimed to be defending freedom of speech. A minority, though, had views described as anti-Semitic and conspiratorial.
I think freedom will be achieved when the Israelis go back to where they were born, which is probably America, Poland.
What? So you mean leaving the state of Israel? Is that what you mean? You don't believe in a state of Israel?
No, I don't.
You don't understand why Jewish students might feel uncomfortable about that on campus today?
No.
You understand the company you're in there. You're in the company of Hamas, who want to dismantle the state of Israel. They tried to do that on October 7th. It resulted in the murder of over 1,000 Israeli Jews.
How do we know that that was not a setup? How do we know that Hamas wasn't a setup?
And Nick, we've seen similar protests at universities across the country. And my colleague Alan Tadinsky's been with protesters in Glasgow.
Yes, where dozens of students at the University of Strathclyde came to demonstrate, despite being condemned and branded insensitive by their own university's bosses. They waved flags, many wore the traditional keffiyeh headdress, others green and red face paint. Again, there were chants of "from the river to the sea," and those I spoke to dismissed any suggestion that the Prime Minister's prior words were right.
Well, he claims it's un-British. I think the ruling class only invoke a sense of nationalism when the mass majority of society come together to directly oppose that rule.
Ridiculous. It should be a British thing.
It's honestly not something I'm surprised by coming from the Prime Minister, as with his recent statements that have been a lot more kind of shifted socially right-wing.
Jewish people, given the significance of this day, they might feel intimidated, scared.
Well, it's not exactly an anti-Jewish event.
About having this today, as in because it's October 7th, somebody's grief doesn't outweigh other people's grief. There is nothing aggressive or scary being here. And it's also really patronising to people who are of the Jewish community who support Palestine.
Can you not protest on the other 364 days of the year?
I respond to the fact that this is the day that marks 2 years of intensified genocide. This is the day as well.
Of course, Israel denies the genocide is taking place, but there were also similar scenes to this in Birmingham, Nick, where my colleague George Ike was at a vigil for Palestine.
Well, this was a much smaller gathering in Birmingham than we've grown used to seeing over the last 2 years across our towns and cities. However, it was the way in which it was billed that was different. Advertised online as a vigil to honour the Palestinian martyrs and with speeches saying that Israelis are not people. 15 Palestinian flags were flying with candles lining the steps next to the canal where they held this vigil, and a banner which read, "Glory to our martyrs and the Palestinian resistance."
We will honour all our martyrs.
We will honour all our martyrs.
All the parents, mothers, fathers.
All the parents, mothers, fathers.
All the children, sons and daughters.
All the children, sons and daughters.
We will honour all our martyrs.
We will honour all our martyrs.
Now, this went ahead despite calls from the government to postpone those demonstrations after the attack outside a synagogue in Crumpsall last week, and the Prime Minister also describing it as un-British to be holding those events on the second anniversary of the 7th of October attacks in 2023. As those speeches and chants you heard a little bit of began, the people attending were told the media had arrived to cover the demo and nobody should speak to the press. If they asked you a question or approached you, you should ignore them. So many of the questions we'd have liked to ask and hear the opinion about why people were protesting on that day, we simply couldn't ask.
George Ike reporting. You heard also from Joseph Draper and then Alan Zazinski. Thanks, team. 12 after 7. Well, let's put some of those points to Ruth, now Baroness Deitch, who was former independent adjudicator for higher education and served as principal of St Anne's College in Oxford, joining me now. Baroness, thank you. These supposedly educated young people will, in time, run our hospitals, our civil service, our courts, our police, possibly even go into politics. When they say that Israel shouldn't exist and they should all go back to America, how would you respond?
I'm horrified by the choice of that day. I, not just because who I am, but I think any decent person would be. If they'd chosen any other day, it would have a different meaning. But in effect, choose October the 7th was a celebration on the streets of Britain of the death of Jews. I don't expect we've seen that for hundreds of years. And what makes it even worse is that, as you said, those young people have been educated, though you do wonder,
yeah,
and they will rise to be our leaders one day. Now, what they need at school is not just Holocaust education, which doesn't seem to have had any effect. They need to be taught somehow about Jews, Judaism, and the establishment of Israel. I mean, look at that ignorance, saying people should go back from Israel to America.
Incredible.
They know nothing.
Absolutely. Should the government, in fairness, Sir Keir said as much as he could, the Home Secretary, the Education Secretary, should more have been done?
Yes, there's a whole programme of things that could have been done, starting with yesterday. There's power under various statutes, including the Terrorism Act, to stop such marches, to make sure, if they insist on going ahead, that banners like, for example, "From the River to the Sea" are not shown. Because we who understand the situation know that "From the River to the Sea" means the obliteration of Israel. And for the Prime Minister just to say it's un-British What does that mean? It's almost a provocation to students. I'm sure they love nothing more than to be called un-British and show how sort of global they are. But certainly education needs an overhaul. The universities need to get a grip. They're always talking about diversity and inclusion, but this never seems to include Jews. It never seems to include education about Jews. The universities have been appeasing this mob for 2 years, and I wish someone would take a grip on it.
Lastly, Baroness, in one of the newspapers there's coverage, a reporter is told by one of these students that the genocide has legitimised anti-Semitism. How do we combat the suspected genocide or the perceived genocide has now fuelled that?
Well, anti-Semitism has run for thousands of years, and what's been happening recently has just been an excuse for it to surface unchallenged. Genocide is not being carried out. If you look at the definition, and if you heard what David Lammy said a week or two ago, it is not genocide. This is being used as an excuse, and it's also, because of the choice of that word, it's being used to drain, to take away from the Jews the unique horror of the Second World War. It's as if to say, well, never mind about the Holocaust, because you Jews, now you're doing exactly the same. In other words, they're trying to obliterate all the sympathy and understanding that Jews need. And there, indeed, it shows just how much Jews need the State of Israel.
Grateful as ever for your time. Thank you, Ruth. Now, Baroness Deitch, former independent adjudicator for higher education, a crossbench peer in the House of Lords and the former principal of St Anne's College, Oxford. Now, I'll just tell you, some of those students with whom the reporting team spoke, they go to universities such as SOAS, Strathclyde University. That came number two in the Sunday Times list of universities last year. These are leading universities with people with just ridiculous views, asinine views. Send all the Jews back to the United States and to Poland. I mean, how did that girl ever get any A-levels, for God's sake? How did she get GCSEs? How did she get her 11-plus if it still exists? Extraordinary. We'll have your views on that. Plus, stay tuned. Get ready to rev up for possibly getting £700 back if you bought a car on a certain finance plan. And also in this hour,
David Norris admits publicly for the first time involvement in the murder of Stephen Lawrence, but refuses to name others involved. I'm LBC's Henry Riley with the details.
We've hit 7:16 LBC News headlines then, Thomas Watts.
The Crown Prosecution Service has claimed a high-profile spying trial collapsed because the government refused to label China an enemy. Students rejected Keir Starmer's warnings as they held pro-Palestinian rallies in several cities yesterday. And the Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, will set out a new economic rule in her speech to the Tory conference later this morning. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, a few light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Lucy Knowles. One lane is closed on the M20 due to barrier repairs westbound after Junction 9 for Ashford. A lane is closed on the M3 due to a broken down vehicle southbound from Junction 2 for the M25 to Junction 3 for Lightwater. There are delays on the M4 onto the elevated section eastbound from Junction 3 for Hayes to Junction 2 for Brentford. Things are slow on the M11 southbound before Junction 4 for the North Circular Road. In Dagenham, there are queues on the A13 westbound from Raynham to Barking and the Lodge Avenue flyover. And on the tubes, there are severe delays on the central line between Leytonstone and Epping. That's due to a points failure at Loughton. And there's no service on the Liberty London Overground line between Romford and Upminster.
LBC.
Private healthcare sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per person per month.
Just for GP calls.
For a 24/7 GP helpline, physio, diagnostics and more. Now, tell me.
All about my medical history.
No, no medical questionnaires or hidden charges. We like to call it
healthcare done different.
Spot on. Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. 6-month wait for some services. T&Cs apply. Selected surgical procedures after 6 months. 24 in Northern Ireland. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are here. 2 days of big deals on electronics, home, kitchen and more. That'll make you feel less like... and more like. Feel like a big deal. Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October. Exclusively for Prime members. Shop now.
Running a ceramic studio is all about balance, right, Nina?
Absolutely. That's why my business deserves the new iPhone 17 Pro. It can help me handle even the busiest workday, from planning my classes to keeping my kiln on track, so my business still holds shape.
The all-new iPhone 17 Pro, as pro as your work demands. Your business deserves the most powerful iPhone on EE, the UK's best network. BT and EE, better for business.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Some are using the word abhorrent. 20 minutes after 7, I'm using the word disgraceful. Why those students couldn't have taken one day off. They were effectively, and I'm sorry, and I appreciate this is offensive for Jewish people, but they were effectively dancing on the graves of those. And many of the people who were killed or abducted were students. At a music festival, the same sort of ages as these people who are chanting ridiculous slogans and absolutely baseless assertions. Calls on that in just a second. A quick look at some of the front pages. There's a wide variety, actually. The Daily Express is looking ahead to, as we shall, looking ahead to Kemi Badenoch's speech. Trust me to put UK's economy back on track is their front page. One other front page show, The Eye. Millions of UK drivers will get a £700 payout. We're going to tell you, if you're listening now and you're thinking, how, who, what, where, when, why, how, the famous six questions, you'll hear from Christian May. He's going to spell out how you get your hands on the cash. And then we'll have follow that up with another expert as well. So everything you need to know on that. And then the Times and the Mail and the Telegraph all go with the same story about this collapse of a China spying trial, which is also the front page of the LBC app. I mean, it's a big story. I don't see how it gets to Mrs. Jones in Clapham. That's the one I don't see that she wakes up this morning. What would have happened to that Chinese spying trial? Now, if I'm wrong, which I normally am, so be it. One other one at random I'll take from the websites is the Huff Post. They say Badenoch, as in Kemi, loses rag with broadcasters. She couldn't have been more courteous with me yesterday. I twice called her Rubin Amorim of politics, and she sort of smiled. And then, as I told you yesterday, the question to which she didn't have an answer, 20 minutes later, on my WhatsApp, up popped a message from the Leader of the Opposition with all the figures I needed, an apology for not having them at the time. I don't call that losing your rag at all. I think that's rather professional. But what are those protests? James in High Wycombe, what would you say to the students, James? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Oh, I've got this wretched cold, but it's not going to stop me. Frailty is not indulged.
The question is, does Britain have a cold, or does the culture have a terminal disease here?
Because
this morning, I was just thinking the same as you. I'm very sad this morning because, you know, I was raised 80s to 90s, and the kind of culture I know wouldn't have done that. Even at the height of the war on terror, can you imagine people protesting for the other side, effectively, the terrorist side, regardless of the Gazan issue, which I agree, morality is always immoral when it's war.
Yep.
You know, they would never have done that after 9/11. It would have been the most insulting thing to the victims of that attack. And some of the comments you saw were just everything we feared that people had been thinking. And, you know, you talked about the Starmer and communism issue with China. But again, I have to say this out loud on your show, people should be incredibly alarmed by this, because the way that left-wing politics is going, it seems to do everything it can to be anti-Western. And this is just another example. Well, we gave away islands to China. Yeah. We've given them a super embassy. We've allowed these protests, which we know we had the power to really have an authority over and stop, you know? Children can do things at school, but teachers prevent them doing it. These students are behaving like moral children with this, and some of the comments just prove that, and that responsibility should go. And honestly, Nick, I look at the political spectrum, and I just, a call to all your listeners, whoever thinks I could be an MP, but I'm never going to do it because it doesn't pay enough and I'm scared, you need to be brave and stand up, because our society is being absolutely destroyed in front of our eyes. We're like the boiling bulldog in the pot.
James, I have to ask you a question. How concerned are you that there is a growing hard left element in some of our universities and colleges?
It's not growing, Nick, it's grown. This thing that we call wokeism is far more pervasive than we could ever have realised. And it's so obtuse that it's got people that support this cause also working with ultra hard left Marxists who want to abolish landlords in other parties.
James, devastating. I'd love to stay with you, but so many people want their say. Have a safe day, sir. Thank you for your input. To Charles in Finchley. Charles, your reaction to this. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Thank you very much for taking the call. I just heard Baroness Deitch, and I can't agree more with her. I have to say, I got a call from my daughter at university yesterday. She's Jewish. She and her friends were spending the past couple of days sitting there trying to work out, do they have escape routes from buildings that they are in if they end up getting attacked? That's the reality of what these protests mean. And what I take issue with is Keir Starmer saying they're un-British. Unfortunately, he is leading a Britain that is this, and it's not un-British at the moment. I'm ashamed of it, but it's not un-British. This is what Britain is today.
When you talk with your daughter, does she ever challenge any of her fellow students? And if so, what do they say back, Charles?
It's incredibly difficult because it's such an emotive issue. And we're not, you know, I don't know, you know Jewish people. We don't like a fight, right? We don't want the confrontation.
We like a good argument, Charles. Come on.
We do, but let's end up in the, you know, let's end up over a bagel or something. Yeah. You know, we're not here to antagonize, right? That's not our way. We're not the ones going around, unfortunately, you know, attacking people, protesting. And look at how many arrests are held or occur during a Jewish protest. It doesn't happen.
Charles, it doesn't. And I think that's horrific, your daughter and her friends having to plot escape routes from a university. Charles, thank you. Best wishes to her and your family. Just let that hang in the air. A student in a university in London, 2025, her and her Jewish friends plotting escape routes from a university. David's in South Woodford. David, your reaction to those demonstrators.
Morning, Nick.
Hello.
I've told before, I'm highly critical of Israel, but the demonstrations yesterday should not have gone on. You need to step back sometimes and reflect on what happened 2 years ago. So I think these are highly intelligent young people, but they're foolish. But I'd like also to say that LBC presenters and ministers who were saying there's no genocide going on, despite the International Association of Genocide Scholars, who know more about genocide than me, you, and everyone else put together, passing a resolution saying there is a genocide. So I think we, or even the grown-ups, need to wake up and smell the...
Yes, but yesterday should have been a day of mourning, David.
No, of course not.
Okay,
that's why
fair enough. That's the first point
I've made. But
okay.
I'm saying it's for ministers and presenters to pick on children and say you're foolish, which they were.
No, I hear what you're saying, and today we can discuss genocide. Yesterday should have been left as a day, as you rightly said right at the top, David, thank you. Let's get some of your emails and social media correspondence. Jagdeep says these students are meant to be the future of the country. Lord help us if this is how they think and do things. Juliet says this should not surprise us. In Britain, in America, in the West, especially students have been taught at every stage to hate the country in which they live and to regard everything about the West as evil and dangerous. Chris in Yorkshire, I'm glad Rent a Mob were out yesterday. It showed what they're all about. No heart, no soul, no shame. They just hate Jewish people. More on that to come. 7:27 and to other stories. And one of Stephen Lawrence's killers has begged the victim's family for forgiveness in a bid to be freed from jail. Here with all the details in the LBC studio, Henry Riley. Henry, morning.
Morning, Nick. This is the first time that, since teenager Stephen Lawrence was murdered in South London more than 30 years ago, that one of his killers has publicly admitted being part of the attack. David Norris was jailed for murder back in 2012. Yesterday he was giving evidence at a public parole hearing to decide if he should be freed, if he should be sent to an open prison, or if he should stay in jail. Now, the 49-year-old, who was 16 at the time, apologised for murdering 18-year-old Stephen. He said, "It should never have happened. I'm totally disgusted with myself. I'm not the racist, violent young criminal I was. I want them, the family, to know how sorry I am." And it was a strikingly different tone from the arrogant persona at the time of the public inquiries and the police interviews with David Norris back in 2010.
Is there an innocent explanation for how this hair has appeared on those jeans?
No comment.
The finding of that hair would tend to suggest, David, that you were at the scene of Stephen Lawrence's murder and May Hoare was almost certainly involved in his death. What do you say to that?
No comment.
Speaking ahead of the hearing, Stephen's mother, Baroness, formerly Doreen Lawrence, said he needed to name the other individuals involved.
For me and anyone else to believe what he's saying, he would need to name the individuals who was there with him on the night. He can't get out of it just say, "I only threw a couple of punches." Stephen's murder happened because he was part of that.
And she was there yesterday, Doreen Lawrence. A video stream from an unknown prison to the Royal Courts of Justice. He chose not to face the camera. He had his back. It was only that which was visible on the screen. She did read out a statement as well, Doreen Lawrence, saying, "I simply cannot see him walking the streets of our diverse country without thinking he would harm someone like me, a black person." Also, Dr. Lawrence, Neville Lawrence, Stephen's father, said he shouldn't be released.
"They've ruined my life. They've caused me not to be able to live in this country. They've robbed me of the chance of my son having got married and have grandchildren. This man has robbed me of so much that there's no way I can even start to think that he should be allowed to walk free."
Now, David Norris described punching Stephen, but denied using a knife. He refused to name the others responsible, saying it would pose a risk to me and my family. Nick, we also heard that the Justice Secretary opposes Norris's release. There are 2 days of the hearing left, and the parole board will make their decision later this month.
LBC's Henry Riley reporting. We'll come back to your calls concerning those student demos after the news. Also coming up after he was back to Manchester ahead of that crucial speech from Kemi Badenoch. The laughs just kept on coming yesterday from Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp.
When Keir Starmer talks about a one-in, one-out policy, it turns out he didn't mean illegal immigrants. He meant Home Secretaries.
That's tumbleweed you can see just sort of blowing across the stage. Plus! It's a spice little earner for Posh Spice as she's still banking millions years on. You'll explain, or we'll explain, and you'll find out why after this. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara on LBC. Let's get the news, Thomas Watts.
Prosecutors say a trial against two men accused of spying for China collapsed because ministers refused to label Beijing an enemy. The CPS has insisted it did everything possible to prosecute Christopher Berry and former parliamentary researcher Christopher Cash, who denied the charges. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, will focus on the economy. As she closes the Tory conference later, she will set out a new golden rule that half of all savings from cuts will have to go towards driving down the deficit. Sir Keir Starmer has arrived in India for a 2-day trade mission in Mumbai. The Prime Minister's told reporters there are no plans to open up more visa routes to Indian workers or students. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, some light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents.
Are Robert Jenrick's comments on Handsworth and white only faces an example of the growing radicalization of our politics? You can listen via our free Global Player app.
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
When you travel the island of Ireland, the Stena Line way, you're saying yes to more legroom.
I can see the top.
Yes to dipping your toe in. And yes to meeting new friends. Because whether it's Dublin, the Wild Atlantic Way, Northern Ireland or Ireland's ancient East, when you travel the Stena Line way, you're saying yes to travel your way. Book now from just £149. Single, car and driver at stenaline.co.uk.
Imagine a delicious patty nestled between two buns with cheese and ketchup. It's not a burger. That patty is actually sausage, which makes this a sandwich. A breakfast sausage sandwich. The new £1.99 sausage sandwich from McDonald's. Made with RSPCA assured bulk. Until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Upcharges and fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quaterpillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears, and four giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go Kart, Trampolines, Magical Wood, and Cafes!
Knock Hatch Adventure Park!
The fun goes on and on and on and on!
Book now at knockhatch.com.
40 million people listen to commercial radio each week. That's 80 million ears, give or take. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:33, Andrew, you'll be the next caller. Abhorrent, disgraceful, whatever word you want to use about those students demonstrating yesterday. Effectively, demonstrating on the graves of fellow students, of course, caught up 2 years ago in that horrific attack. Now into the world of business. Christian May is editor-in-chief at City AM. Christian, I know that the biggest story probably in the financial world is the one concerning car compensation, but I'm going to be doing that with a personal finance expert who's going to tell the listeners how to get their hands on the loot. So let's go to a story that I know is very close to your heart. Indeed, you have put it on the front page of City AM. It's booze. What's the latest development? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, yes. As somebody who perhaps feels the impact of a hangover more now than I did a few years ago, certainly even a few years before that, yeah, my interest was piqued by a new report from the left-leaning Institute for Public Policy Research, a think tank which is very close to the Labour government, have put out a report this morning in which they try to draw a link between effectively hangovers and the UK's persistent productivity problem. And their research says that one in three workers has called in sick during the past year because of a hangover. 22% reported working with a hangover, and nearly 30% have observed colleagues being tired or sluggish after drinking. I don't know if you can imagine that, Nick. Look around your studio.
Unknown to me. Go ahead.
Quite certainly unknown in the newsroom in the City of London, I can assure you. But what these policy wonks have determined is that there is a link between drinking, particularly drinking during the working week or even drinking during the working day, and productivity. Now, it's a bit of a stretch, I think, but they say that what Rachel Reeves should do at the budget is increase tax on alcohol in order to nudge Brits away from this. They also say that bosses and employers have a far higher duty than they currently live up to nudge and educate and guide people around appropriate drinking. And again, I'm not sure that is the day job of bosses and employers. I would observe, having been in the City of London for nearly a decade, that drinking culture has changed quite a lot, not least because of the proliferation of great non-alcoholic beer and also this normalisation now of people just not drinking. So this feels to me like it might be a solution in search of a problem.
Let's move to other matters. We've talked before about the exodus of millionaires and billionaires from this country, and another one's gone, according to the front page again of your City AM.
Yeah, we're talking about the founder and chief exec and largest shareholder of the fintech giant Revolut. Company's house filings yesterday revealed that he has moved his family office, as they call it, the sort of hub of his own personal wealth and activity, from the UK and into the United Arab Emirates. Now, this is Nick Storonsky. He's an exceptionally successful entrepreneur, and we have talked about what's going on with Revolut in recent months, Nick, and their quest to finally get that full banking license over the line. He has announced major investment in the UK, billions of pounds worth. Rachel Reeves was there opening their new office just a couple of weeks ago. This is not quite the same as sort of, you know, non-doms, of which he's not one, I believe, fleeing the shores. But it is interesting to note that as he perhaps looks towards the future, where he may realise some of the many tens of billions of pounds worth of value in his business, he's possibly got an eye on which jurisdiction he may pay things like capital gains tax, which is, you know, 20-odd percent in this country and 0% in the UAE. But I'm just speculating. But it's not going to have a bearing on their footprint or their investment or their activity here in the UK, where they continue to do extremely well.
Lastly, a Spice little earner for Victoria Beckham. I can't remember how many years ago it was that the Spice Girls performed, but she's still raking in the cash, Christian. How come?
Well, it's nice, isn't it, when you fire off a couple of hit songs back in the 90s and then you fast forward 30-odd years and you realise that the royalties are still bringing in a decent chunk of money. According to filings, Victoria Beckham made just under 2 million quid from her music career last year, despite not having had a music career for some time. She's probably better known now for her fashion enterprises, which themselves are doing slightly better than in recent years as well. So there's a very entrepreneurial family. You know, we keep a close eye on David Beckham's investments and businesses and financial reports and filings. He's had a pretty good time lately. Victoria Beckham's fashion enterprises are doing slightly better than they have been, but it's nice to consider that while she sleeps and in the background, some of those Spice Girl songs continue to drop a few quid in her bank account.
Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, I'll leave you to your alcohol-free lunch today, and we'll talk around the same time tomorrow, 7:38. Andrew, Michael, we're going to talk to you about those protests, but let's stay with financial matters and the news we've mentioned already, and you've heard on the LBC News bulletins. Around 14 million of us who took out car loans over the past 18 years are set to be paid £700 each in compensation following a ruling from the city regulator. Let's get more from Abby Foster, who's LBC's personal finance expert. You're here on Sunday mornings, by the way, with Matthew Wright, and Abby joins me now. Okay, what my listeners will want to know, Abby, is how do they get the cash? What do they have to do next? Good morning, and how do they qualify? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, so the car finance mis-selling, what was happening is if anyone took out hire purchase or personal contract purchase, also known as PCP, between April 2007 and November 2024, if that is you, what you want to make sure that you're doing is you're trying, if you can, to avoid these companies that are coming to you with misleading ads and excessive fees saying that they can get their money for you and just use the FCA. So the Financial Conduct Authority, also known as the FCA, has said that if you use their free template letter available on their website, they will help you to get your money back. If you've already claimed, you'll be contacted first when the scheme goes live, which will be next year. If you haven't complained yet, your lender will contact you within 6 months of the scheme starting, and you'll have 6 months to opt in. If the lender can't trace you, you will have 1 year to make a direct claim. So you can choose to go to court instead if you want. That could be slower, riskier. You end up paying legal fees, but those are the ways to get to that £700.
So the onus is on the banks or the financial institutions that underwrote the loan to find each customer. Is that right, Abby?
Yeah, so Lloyd, Santander, Close Brothers are among the lenders having to set aside very large sums to help obviously facilitate this and make this as easy as possible. It's being called the kind of PPI of the car world.
Yeah, PPI on wheels, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's around 14 million finance agreements, so roughly 44% of all car finance deals since 2007 are thought to be affected. So, yeah, the FCA expects redress schemes cost around 14
billion. So the key is here is it's cars purchased after 2007, is that right?
Yes.
And you go to the financials FCA website, gets all the details. Is that again?
Yeah, the
right?
FCA free template letter.
Okay. So, I mean, just suppose someone since 2007 bought an Audi and then a Jaguar and then a Jeep on finance plans. Would that person, that mythical person, would he or she then qualify for three lumps of 700 quid or just the one?
There is a possibility that they could. Because Well, the entire deal bases around the fact that there were secret or discretionary commissions from the lenders. And if that happened every single time you bought your extra car, Nick...
No, they traded them in. Hang on. I haven't got a garage of them. So the Jaguar became the Audi or the other way around, which became the Jeep. I can't remember which one.
Of course, yes. So each time you traded in your car, if you were in that situation where dealers or brokers were deceiving you with discretionary commissions, this may be additional for each one. So the interest rate they charged you meant they got a bigger cut and customers weren't told. And if this happened every time, the FCA have ruled that this practice is unfair and in breach of the rules.
Maybe the wife can get the toast of a Christmas after all. Abby Foster, thank you. LBC's personal finance expert. Catch her with Matthew Wright Sunday mornings here on LBC 7:41 on LBC Right Now. Coming to you, Andrew, in Halifax. But I want to read this from Emma in Ongar. I'm Jewish. I've been feeling physically sick since you played those clips from the students. Hearing someone praising the martyrs and the crowd going along with it has terrified me. They sounded like a cult. Surely this call to celebrate martyrs is illegal? Were any arrests made? Is any investigation being undertaken? To my knowledge, there were no arrests, but there was plenty of video taken, which, of course, is why so many of them, Emma, covered their faces. Andrew in Halifax, thank you for waiting, sir. Your view. You're on the radio.
Good morning, Nick. Well, what we've had for a long time now, and yesterday just really confirmed it, is this alliance between the far left in this country and radical Islam. It's satanic, and I think it's a Satan that far too...
Why, in what way were those students motivated by radical Islam?
Well, because this is an alliance. You know, they both
I don't understand. They are misguided, they're ill-informed, they're actually stupid. But how are they driven by radical Islam? That's this hook I'm not getting.
They're evil. They're evil.
Right.
But, you know, you go on these marches and you'll see an alliance of radical Muslims and the usual sort of rent-a-crowd from university with coloured hair and septum piercings. You know, you can pretty much guarantee that they are the two types of people you will see on any one of these marches. And they're both...
And noting that, again, I say that SOAS, the University of Strathclyde, leading universities, what are we to do? Because these people will be running our hospitals, our courts, our police forces, possibly our politics. What is to be done now?
Well, who can say? I mean, this country is in such a mess. I don't know if anything can actually save it.
Andrew, rather gloomy. Thank you for your input, though. Michael in Croydon. Michael, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Morning.
Yes?
Everyone that went on that protest yesterday, anywhere in the country, they would have been protesting for the death of tens of thousands of children, not the death of Jews. This narrative is nonsense. It's the death of thousands of children, innocent children.
No. They're chanting from the river to the sea.
They're
chanting, long live the Intifada. And they're calling, in some instances, death, death to the IDF. Don't be under any illusion what some, not all, of those students were calling for, Michael.
Nick, the narrative that you go with, when people chant from the river to the sea and the Intifada, means the destruction of Israel.
Yes.
All the while, Israel has completely destroyed the state of Palestine.
Well, they haven't, have they, Michael? Because if they'd wanted to do that, given the weaponry that they have, it would be a car park now. And I'm not for one moment suggesting that the death of 60-plus thousand people is right, although in many instances they will be terrorists, but the innocent loss of lives is, of course, wrong. It is not wiping out Gaza. It wouldn't be there, Michael.
Nick, I'm not even talking from the 7th of October. Jewish settlers have wiped off...
Why? We're talking about events in the United Kingdom yesterday. Why they couldn't take the day off?
Why should they take a day off?
Because the Jewish people are in mourning, not least for the horrific events of 2 years ago, but the attack at a synagogue as well, last week in Manchester. It would have shown great respect, Michael. And also there are Jewish students and student groups who ask their fellow students not to protest. Why should they be ignored? Michael?
Nick, we're talking about the death of tens of thousands of children. People should not have to not protest because two people died in synagogue. And as sad as that is, why should people not...
Don't answer my question respectfully, sir, with a question. Why shouldn't Jewish student groups be ignored in that fashion?
So why should other people be ignored?
So you've done it again. I'll try for a third time. Why should Jewish student groups be ignored?
Well, they shouldn't be ignored, should they?
Thank you. But they were. And you now have Jewish students plotting escape routes from British universities.
And where do they go to? They go to... When Jewish people are scared, they go to Israel, occupied Palestine.
I think you need... Okay, Michael. You need to try the decaf. That's what's happened here. The coffee's too strong for you this morning. They're not trying to get to Israel. That young woman's trying to get out of a university for her own safety, as she's explained to her father. She and other Jewish students are plotting an escape route from a London university, which I'm not going to identify, not least because I don't know which one it is. Michael, they're not trying to get to Israel, they're trying to get to safety. Look after yourself, we'll agree to disagree agreeably. Well, I can't even remember it now. Disagree agreeably, that'd be the one. All right, coming up later in the show, a lesson to be taught to parents. More than 6 in 10 teachers think parents are seeking special educational needs and disabilities. Send diagnosis to work the system. Joel Hinchcliffe is head teacher at Parkwood Academy in Sheffield. He says providing adequate SEND provision is difficult.
It can often be a time issue in terms of getting the right support and needs for families, and that comes with a lot of stress and anxiety.
Are you faking it for your kids? Plus, from
Mind the Gap
to Mind the Cat, as the fur flies over the number of people taking cats on the tube and letting them out of their baskets. Have you ever seen that? You listen to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrar, on LBC, the 7:45 news headlines. Thomas Watts.
Prosecutors have claimed a major spying trial collapsed because ministers refused to label China an enemy. Students rejected warnings from senior politicians as they held pro-Palestinian rallies in several parts of the country yesterday. And Kemi Badenoch will focus on the public finances when she closes the Tory conference in Manchester later. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, some light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Lucy Knowles. One lane is closed on the M20 due to barrier repairs westbound after Junction 9 for Ashford. A lane is closed on the M3 due to a broken down vehicle southbound from Junction 2 for the M25 to Junction 3 for Lightwater. There are delays on the M4 onto the elevated section eastbound from Junction 3 for Hayes to Junction 2 for Brentford. Things are slow on the M11 southbound before Junction 4 for North Circular Road. In Dagenham, there are queues on the A13 westbound from Raynham to Barking and the Lodge Avenue flyover, and on the tubes there are severe delays on the central line between Leytonstone and Epping due to a points failure at Loughton, and there's no service on the Liberty London Overground line between Romford and Upminster.
This is LBC.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are here. 2 days of big deals on electronics, home, kitchen and more that'll make you feel less like and more like feel like a big deal. Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October, exclusively for Prime members. Shop now.
Running a ceramic studio is all about balance, right, Nina?
Absolutely. That's why my business deserves the new iPhone 17 Pro. It can help me handle even the busiest workday, from planning my classes to keeping my kiln on track, so my business still holds shape.
The all-new iPhone 17 Pro, as pro as your work demands. Your business deserves the most powerful iPhone on EE, the UK's best network. BT and EE, better for business.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
At TfL, we're making tube journeys faster in the future, with signalling improvements underway on the Circle, District, Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines. And there's also the Elizabeth line, already giving you fast journeys across central London. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Elizabeth Line is fast compared to other TfL modes. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Imagine a delicious patty nestled between two buns with cheese and ketchup. It's not a burger. That patty is actually sausage, which makes this a sandwich. A breakfast sausage sandwich. The new £1.99 sausage sandwich from McDonald's. Made with RSPCA assured pork. Until 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Upcharges and fees apply to delivery. Subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It's coming up on 9 minutes before eight. We'll come back to our conversation about the protesters who defied requests from the Prime Minister, Education Secretary, Home Secretary and many others, and did turn out and protest. Surely one day off wouldn't have hurt, but let's move to other governmental matters. And there are more than 150 schemes being delivered to boost flood resilience across the nation. Here with more details is the relevant minister, Minister for Water and Flooding, Emma Hardy. Good to have you on. Can you spell out where and what exactly is going on? Morning, Minister.
Morning, and thanks for having me on, and thanks for covering this story. So, yes, so I'm really excited, because most of the time I come on and talk about what we're going to do, and now I can come on and tell you what we've actually done. So it's 151 projects that Breda protects 24,000 properties and businesses up and down the country, because as you know, we inherited our flood defences in the worst condition on record. So we've immediately had to look at building some new defences, but also maintaining the ones that we've got. So we put 108 million pounds into maintenance as well, and this has collectively meant that we are better protected for flooding this year than we were last year. And I mustn't forget our farmland and our rural communities, because we also put 91 million pounds into the internal drainage board, and they're the ones that deal with more sort of rural flooding and those kind of issues as well. But this is on top of the record £10.5 billion funding that is going into flooding. And I have to say, Nick, you know, this is really important to me. It's important to me personally, coming from where I do and what happened in 2007 when we saw such devastating flooding. And
You're talking about your constituency in Halton Price, are you? Just to clarify, you were born there as well. That's what I didn't understand. Yeah, go ahead. Right.
Where I grew up in Holland, okay. Halton Price.
Yeah, Halton.
Because what happened in 2007 was I was a primary school teacher at the time. Yeah, so I was teaching my 5 and 6 year olds when the flood water came into the classroom during the lesson. So we had to bring the children into the school hall, evacuate the building. So parents were arriving at different times, trying to fight the flood water to come and pick up their children, carried off on the shoulders of their parents back home. And then we tried to get home, abandoning the car, walking through the floodwaters. What happened after that, the school was closed for all of the rest of the time until the summer holidays, and we were taking lessons in, well, at one point, Nick, I was taking lessons under a tree in a field with the children because we had nowhere else to go. And I think one of the things about flooding, and this is one of the points I really want to get across, and I know any of your listeners who have been flooded will understand this, is it is traumatic. It's a traumatic experience. And when the children, whenever it used to rain after that, some of the children used to cry because they used to worry about flooding again because they were living in caravans. So in opposition, I really wanted to be the flooding minister. So I was very delighted when I became the real flooding minister. And that's why I'm especially delighted to say to you today, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what I've done.
Well, let's just hear it. So that's great for the good folk of Halton Price. Can you give us an idea of other regions in the UK that have benefited, Minister?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's schemes up and down. I mean, there's so if I tell you a bit about the LEAD scheme, because that one's really interesting, because that LEAD scheme is not just sort of hard defences, but it's also natural flood management as well. So it combines different ways of dealing with flooding. And what that's actually meant is it's unlocked growth, because by having the flood defences there means that you can develop in an area that previously you couldn't. So that one, I think's a really interesting scheme. And then there's smaller schemes. So the schemes are going into some of the schools, which are called SUDs, that's Sustainable Urban Drainage. So that's sort of interesting schemes as well. But then there's the bigger schemes like the Canvey Island one. That's more of a seawall defence. We've got a whole mixture of like seawall defences, river defences, sort of individual, what you call SUDs, you know, soak away areas, some nature-based defences as well. So there is a big variety. But I don't want people to think, you know, I think job's done. Job is definitely not done. Which is why we obviously want to keep building those defences, but also, really importantly, maintain the ones we've got, because it felt like the previous government were interested in building new ones and not as interested in maintaining the ones they've got, and we need to do both.
All right, last couple of questions. Is it more difficult to maintain order with a group of primary school children or your ministerial colleagues? Which poses the greater challenge, Minister?
Well, there's a question. I used to get asked that when I was in the House of Commons. Is it easier with children or easier?
Well, you must be taken back to your school days on Wednesdays, I would have thought, and they all start shouting.
Someone did say to me when I was first elected, they said I got up and someone had tried to intervene on me, and they said I gave them such a teacher stare and went, no.
All right. I finished with a story that's on the front pages of the newspapers. No relevance at all to flooding and the great work that you've done. And I can hear the passion and enthusiasm in your voice. So well done to you and, of course, your colleagues who are out there putting in a shift. But I have to say, it's the allegations that Britain's most senior prosecutor blaming your government, Labour, for the collapse of the China spies trial after the government repeatedly refused to describe Beijing as a national security threat. As a minister, can you tell us what this country's position is as regards China? Emma Hardy?
Yes, so our official position is that China is a challenge, but just on the exact facts around the case, so obviously, as you can imagine, before coming on here, I've sort of, you know, wanted to be fully briefed on what the situation is. So what actually happened was back in 2023, so under the previous government, the Crown Prosecution Service decided to take forward a prosecution based on the evidence that they had and the facts that they had at the time. Now, at that time, in 2023, China wasn't officially recognised as a threat either. So they went through the Crown Prosecution. Since then, there's been a case brought into the High Court, and that's meant that the evidence needed to prosecute has been raised, and now the evidence that they had from 2023 basically isn't high enough to lead to a prosecution. And I think what I want to be really clear about is that this is basically nothing to do with ministers. It's nothing to do with what this government has done or hasn't done. This is based on 2023. And as the PM said yesterday, and of course, you know, Prime Minister knows about all this stuff because he used to be a director himself. As he said, you can't retrospectively go back and change a stance on something from the past. So that's the facts around the case. And I'm grateful that we were able to make that clear today.
Grateful for your time. I shall look out for your teacher's stare next time I see you on Prime Minister's Questions. Emma Hardy, Minister for Water and Flooding, talking about the work done there. Grateful for your input. Thank you. 3 minutes before eight. April's in Stanmore. Coming back to these protests, what would you say to the protesters, the students who went out yesterday, April? Good morning.
I'm very worried about it. I think it's disgusting. I wanted to talk about student union, educational unions, but just to mention, you keep mentioning about how, you know, they shouldn't have been doing that yesterday, which I obviously agree about, but they shouldn't be doing that at all, and that's part of my issue.
Oh, no, they're allowed to protest.
No, it's not about protesting. It's about what they're saying. That's my issue. It's not the protesting, it's what they're saying. But anyhow, the issue that I wanted to talk about was unions. And, you know, the Baroness was talking about education and changing education. But you know what? You have to look at these educational unions. They are in bed with the socialist worker. They have been anti-Israel and anti-Semitic for so many years, I can't even tell you. I'm a teacher myself.
Are you? Right.
And less than a week after the atrocities, we were already getting things sent in, especially from the NEU, because they are the worst, saying about the marching and the protests, etc. It was just it was absolutely horrible. And this is ongoing, and these are educated. This is the biggest union. I am in a group of Jewish teachers in loads of different schools all over the country, and they share, you know, what they are seeing from the unions, what they are hearing in their schools from educators, and this is what worries me the most.
And, of course, what we heard from some students. April, I have to finish there. Thank you. I just want to reflect this from Marie and Tony and many others. You say they should have had the day off. Has the IDF taken the day off from bombing Gaza? There you go again, thinking that Jewish people living in this country, Jewish students, have anything to do with the Israeli state or the IDF. Do not mix the two. So many of you suggesting that. April, thank you for your call. The music means we must move on. Coming up, you reference that you're a teacher. The suggestion that SEND diagnoses, special education needs and disabilities, are effectively being worked, being gained the system. We'll look at that in more detail. We're also off to Handsworth, the area of Birmingham, where supposedly there aren't enough white faces. And
do you hear the
happy birthday to the greatest musical ever performed, Les Miserables. We'll speak with one of the original stars. News is next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, the Crown Prosecution Service has blamed the government for the collapse of a high-profile Chinese spying trial. It says it tried over many months to obtain evidence declaring Beijing a threat to national security. The case against two men, including a former parliamentary researcher, was dropped last month. Luke de Pulford is founder and executive director of the Interparliamentary Alliance on China.
The offence that they were charged under was passing information to the enemy. Basically, all that the government needed to do was supply evidence suggesting that China was a national security threat for the trial to proceed. Remarkably, what the Crown Prosecution Service has said is that they were asking for months and months for this evidence. It never came, and that's why the case collapsed.
Sir Keir Starmer says the previous Conservative administration was behind the decision. Kemi Badenoch will put the economy at the centre of her leader's speech as she closes the Tory party conference later. She will set out a new golden rule that half of savings from cuts must be put towards reducing the deficit. LBC's political editor is Natasha Clark.
She's expected to say today that the most important thing is a strong economy and that nothing she wants to do is possible without the money to pay for it. She will accuse the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, of being able to double the deficit with her borrowing and tax doom loop. Badenoch will say this is stealing from our children and grandchildren and that it's not sustainable or fair. She'll also announce plans to reform the higher education sector, doubling apprenticeship funding, backing high-value courses for young people.
Labour says the Tories have shown they can't be trusted with the public finances. The Prime Minister's arrived in India for a two-day trade mission to Mumbai. India pushed for more visa access to Britain when the two countries finalised a trade deal earlier this year, but Sir Keir Starmer's told reporters he won't be opening new routes for Indian workers. Two suspects are being questioned after a cyber attack at a London-based nursery chain. Police arrested a 17-year-old boy and 22-year-old man in Bishop's Stortford on suspicion of computer misuse and blackmail. Information about 8,000 children was reportedly stolen from Kido and held to ransom. A think tank is calling for new alcohol taxes to address a booze-induced productivity crisis. The IPPR says an entrenched workplace drinking culture is leading to staff missing work and battling through hangovers. It wants alcohol duty to rise by 2% above the rate of inflation each year. In the city, the FTSE 100 is reopening at 94.83 after closing up 4 yesterday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.15. LBC weather largely dry with sunny spells, a few light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Hey Sainsbury's, any way you can save me a few quid on my weekly shop?
Well, Jane, try Your Nectar Prices. Every week in Your Nectar app, you can unlock up to 10 personalised discounts on things you love at Sainsbury's. A Janesbury's, if you will.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Get personalised discounts with Your Nectar Prices. That's good food for all of us. Janesbury's. I mean Sainsbury's. 18 plus Nectar app required. Unlock up to 10 Your Nectar Prices weekly. Available in supermarkets, online and in locals with Smart Shop. T&Cs apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 4 minutes after eight on Wednesday, October the 8th. Coming up in this hour, the SEND Special Educational Needs and Disabilities Diagnosis are being used for advantage, and teachers say some parents need to be taught a lesson. We'll give you more details on that. After that incendiary claim by Robert Jenrick that there weren't enough white faces in a certain part of Birmingham.
Robert Jenrick's got the backs of Brummies up after saying he didn't see another white face in Handsworth. Locals have called it disgusting and want him to resign. I'm LBC's George Ike with their reaction shortly.
Mr Jenrick's current boss, Kemi Badenoch, the Conservative Party leader, makes a crucial speech today up at the Conservative Conference in Manchester. We'll be asking what you want to hear through the eyes of Essex Man. Do you remember that was a label coined in the 1980s to help Margaret Thatcher's Conservative Party? A Swindon woman as well. That was a key electoral demographic or demo. But we start with...
I'm Nigel in Clacton, and I'll reveal what I want to hear from Kemi Badenoch in her conference speech.
And I am Jane in Swindon, and I will also be giving my view on the Tories.
And I'm the Essex Man, Greg, in Great Dunmo.
Essex Man, Swindon woman, and a bloke called Nigel in Clacton. We'll hear what they want. Plus... The fur flies on the London Underground. As a video shows people taking their cats on the tube and allowing them out of their cages. Have you ever seen, or baskets I should say, have you ever seen a cat on the tube?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
My producer has sagely observed, you can take the boy out of the sun, you can't take the sun out of the boy. Oh, well, some fun to come when we look at Kemi Badenoch's speech. Should we talk SEND, a desperately important area, special education needs and disabilities? And I have to say, having discussed this for a number of years now, I know how it inflames tensions and moods with parents, because we all want the best for our children. If you are fortunate enough to become a parent, obviously in my case a father, it changes your entire life. Your whole view of life changes. And I bet you, many of you have, like me, when you've seen your children as children, and they've had to go and perhaps have an arm reset because they've broken it at basketball, or they've broken their wrist at football, as they go down to the operating room, you would do a deal with God. I will trade you a limb for the safety of my child. That's what they mean. I know how passionate you feel about your children. And if you sense they're being disadvantaged because of SEND, Special Education Needs and Disabilities, you want the best. I get it. But it would appear that some of you are what they call gaming the system. More than 6 in 10 teachers think that parents, and these are the teachers, by the way, so they're in a pretty good position to talk on this. More than 6 in 10 teachers think parents are seeking special educational needs and disabilities diagnosis to give them an advantage in exams. In a nationally representative poll of more than 1,000 primary and secondary school teachers across state and private sectors, 72% said the SEND framework was failing children. Now, this has been a hot topic. It's plagued the government, and one has to say previous administrations as well, but plagued this government in recent months, and one that Reform UK has been vocal on. As a reminder, here's the party's deputy leader, Richard Tice, claiming at a press conference just a month ago that some parents are using and abusing SEND.
Across the country, SEND is in crisis. The growth in numbers and the cost of that provision and the cost of transport. There are many children who need extra provision, but I regret to say that there are some parents who are using and abusing the system, and we have to be honest about that.
Let's turn first to David Lee Allen, Executive Director of the Suffolk Association of Secondary Head Teachers, a former head teacher, and someone who kindly helps us with many educational stories. Good to have you on again. Let's back up, as I think I might have done with you once before. Once a child, once a pupil is diagnosed with SEND, what does it provide for? Morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. It all depends on the level of need. It's like a stage system. So some students will come in and they'll be at the bottom tier. And so the interventions that they receive will be just duly down to the teachers and how they actually deliver the lesson to that child. Maybe with extra large font or something like this that the student has access to. And you'll have some other students that are right up the top and have something like something called an educational healthcare plan. There's a legal document that says, for example, they must have one-to-one support in every classroom or other such support within lessons. And what happens with the exam access arrangement system is that the JCQ, we have to prove to the JCQ.
Joint committee? What is JCQ?
Qualifications Council.
Oh, right, okay.
And so what they do, they sort of sit above the whole exam system. And if you're a parent that says, right, I've got a child with SEND needs, and they're going to need some extra help in order to be able to access these examinations, then what the parent has to do is has to go to the school and to the SENCO,
Special Education Needs Coordinator, yeah. Isn't it, SENCO? Yep.
Apologies.
No, that's my job. Go on, David. Yep.
So they have to go, and well before the exams, they have to put an application in that demonstrates that this young person, in their natural way of working, that they do need this extra help. They do need extra time. They do need a scribe. They do need to be in a separate space. All of this... And so where your survey has sort of said, that some parents are gaming the system, etc. Where the tension lies is that, of course, as you start getting towards those exams, more and more people start to come out the woodwork saying, well, my child has got these needs. And we've paid for an assessment, for example. We've gone to a service that says our child is dyslexic. And so therefore, and it might be very mildly dyslexic, but, and there is some, at times, concern that some of these services that parents are paying for are going to give you the answer that you want.
Okay. Let me
just... Of course, it puts pressure on the schools.
Got it. David, how many years have you been a teacher or a head teacher?
I was a head teacher for 10 years. I've been teaching for 30-something.
30-plus years?
Yeah.
What evidence have you seen of what I'm going to call gaming the system? Do you believe it is an issue?
Yes, I have seen some examples of parents trying to manipulate the system unfairly towards their child. And what we have definitely seen is a massive increase in the demands on the special educational needs system. So I'll give you one example.
Briefly, if you would, David, because I've got someone else to get in. But go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
A colleague of mine said of his school that 3 years ago he had 25 students who had an educational healthcare plan. He now has 96.
Over what time period?
3 years.
That's quadrupled, effectively, hasn't it? Yes. All but.
Yeah.
Those are the sort of figures we're talking about. David, as ever, thanks for your time. David Lee Allen, Executive Director of the Suffolk Association of Secondary Head Teachers, a former head teacher, 30 years in the job. Listening at 12 after 8 to that is Sabiha Aziz, former chair of the Birmingham Parent Carer Forum. And I understand, if you're prepared to share it, you have a child who has SEND. Is that correct? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I do.
I don't need his name or her name. What is the issue?
So the issue is that my young person is post-19, severely learning disabled, severely non-verbally autistic, epileptic. and basically has an EHCP that was agreed, and there isn't suitable provision for him now, so he has been home, sat at home with the plan since this academic year began, and there hasn't even been so much as a single call from the local authority to ask if he's dead or alive. They have a legal duty of care towards him. They haven't bothered to ask how he is, what interim provision they can put in. So I think this trope about the EHCP being a golden ticket it's not always how it is in real life for parents, that actually even if you have an all singing, all dancing education healthcare plan, it's really difficult to make sure that's implemented. You know, my young man has lots of provision in there, and he hasn't had that provision for up to 7 years in some stages of his education. So there definitely is, there's a crisis in the system, and it isn't just about, oh, you get this EHCP, and then that means that it's all plain sailing.
Now, you felt strongly enough about this, I understand, a couple of years ago to resign from your position as chair. Why did you do that? And surely walking away, you lost an opportunity to influence what should need to change.
So that had come off the back of doing 5 years in that role. And over that 5 years, I had sat through a failed CQC Ofsted inspection, a revisit that was also an epic failure from Birmingham City Council. And it just got to the point where I felt like actually my contribution isn't valued here, because I'm the voice of the parent. I'm bringing in my personal experience. I've got over 3 decades of experience in the SEND space in Birmingham, and it just wasn't valued. I couldn't see it being used to shape the services, to shape the improvements, all that rich data that I was bringing from myself and other parents. And it was just, it was very tokenistic, sort of, thank you for bringing the realism, but actually that data was not being used efficiently. Hence, here we are all these years since we had the first inspection, and actually the failures are still there.
What would you say to these teachers who've responded that they believe there is quite widespread manipulating of the system? Excuse me.
I think we need to look at this as a wider issue. It's very simplistic to say that, but actually what we've got to look at is, we know that there is a crisis in the SEND space. We know that there's very little trust between schools and parents, and so actually a lot of parents feel like they can't trust the school when they say, we will give this provision to a child. They almost feel like they need that security and comfort of an education healthcare plan. And then wider than that, we've got to look at the councils and the government rhetoric towards this, that, there's this shoehorning of SEND youngsters into mainstream. Well, actually, that's not suitable for all of them. And there's a severe lack of individualism and shaping the support to meet that young person and their family's needs.
My best wishes to your family and to the boy. Thank you for your input. Sabiha Aziz, your former chair of the Birmingham Parent Care Forum and mother of that teenage boy, as you described. So the reality, what have you battled to get? Or is it a way to get your child extra help in an exam, extra time, or even a laptop, as it says here? I don't know. We'll take your views on that. Plus, to Handsworth.
He should definitely quit. Very dangerous views to have, especially as a politician.
He doesn't need me to show him around. Like, it's a diverse community. There's all sorts of ethnicities here. Everybody wants to just live and get on.
Where locals have responded to the views of Robert Jenrick, the Shadow Justice Secretary. He didn't see enough white faces. 8:16, LBC News Headlines, Thomas Watts.
Prosecutors say a trial against two men accused of spying for China collapsed because ministers refused to label Beijing an enemy. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, will focus on the economy when she closes the Tory party conference in Manchester later. And Sir Keir Starmer's arrived in India for a 2-day trade mission. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Lucy Knowles. One lane is closed on the M20 due to barrier repairs westbound after Junction 9 for Ashford. On the M23, they're accused southbound due to an accident earlier. That's from Junction 8 for the M25 to Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport. Things are busy but moving on the M3 southbound from Junction 2 for the M25 to Junction 3 for Lightwater. That's because of a broken down vehicle. The M4 is stop start onto the elevated section eastbound from Junction 3 for Hayes to Junction 2 for Brentford. On the tubes, there are severe delays on the central line between Leytonstone and Epping due to a points failure at Loughton. And there are delays on Chiltern Railways between Harrow on the Hill and Wendover. That's due to signal problems.
This is LBC.
It's the last chance to get yourself a ticket for tonight's Lotto draw.
It could be you.
Lotto from the National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal.
Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 27th of November. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
I'm telling you, raise taxes, that's how.
Cut spending, less waste, more sense.
Move north, get more for your money.
Until winter hits your heating bill.
Fair.
Up to 9.13% annual return. We all agree that's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to ignore.
Cufflink. Auto-invest property-backed from £500. Visit cufflink.com. That's K-U-F-L-I-N-K. Register your interest today. Your capital is at risk. Tax rules apply to IF ISAs and may be subject to change. Cufflink is authorised and regulated by the FCA.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
19 minutes after 8, let's come to your calls concerning SEND. Becky's in Sunbury. How does this affect you, Becky? Good morning.
I have a little boy who is SEND. He's autistic, he has ADHD and sensory processing disorder.
Right.
None of which are made up disorders. I know some people believe that, and he's not just a naughty boy. He's not naughty at all, in fact.
Sorry, how old was he? I didn't catch his age. I do apologise.
He's 10.
10, right. Okay. And what is his behaviour? Can I ask, in what way does his condition show itself?
He has, he's very articulate when he's interested, but he loses all language when he is dysregulated or upset. He gets very, loses focus very quickly, but he internalises all of his difficulties, so he doesn't lash out. He becomes very, very upset, very anxious.
Do you have other children?
I do. I've got a 20-year-old who is also autistic with ADHD.
Right.
And I have an 11-year-old who is neurotypical.
Who is?
Neurotypical, so she doesn't have any neurodiversities.
Oh, neurotypical. Right, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what you said about your little lad, having raised two sons, I mean, I heard a lot of that with my two boys, that when they were interested in something, they would absolutely, but when they weren't, it was kind of hard work,
no language. And when your little boys were upset, did they pull their own hair because they were so upset and couldn't communicate?
No, mercifully they did not. No.
So he has a formal diagnosis that I didn't pay for.
Please don't think I'm trying to be confrontative. I'm just trying to get from you so my listeners can get a full picture of how your lad is. I'm not trying to be confrontational in any way.
When he is articulate, he tells me his heart hurts when he has to go to school. Mummy, why do you make me go somewhere for 8 hours a day that makes me sad?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And this is from a 10-year-old. And I would like to speak to the parents who fleece the SEND system, because for those of us who have genuine needs, it's a really hard system to work.
So what is the educational future for this boy then, Becky?
At the moment, if I can't get him into a school that is suitable, he will, looking at statistics, he will end up with mental health conditions. He will be 8 times more likely to take his own life than your child.
Right. God.
He will not meet his full potential. He will have a life of emotional distress and mental illness.
I wonder why, and there's no reason on earth you should have the answer to this, but if we listen to the teacher with whom we spoke earlier, David Lee Allen, who's been in and around education for 3 decades, he was telling us about, a former colleague, where the number of pupils has gone from 25 to 96 in 3 years. Why do you suppose that might be? There's no reason, by the way, you know the answer, but I thought I'd ask.
I think it's awareness, to be perfectly honest. As someone who has a 20-year-old who also has neurodiversities, I think the awareness has grown. I would also argue, if you have a child, and, you know, a 15, 16-year-old doing a GCSE is a child, who is getting overwhelmed and emotionally distressed because they're expected to sit for 2 hours in a hall answering questions, and, you know, it is sold to them that this is life-changing. These are so important. These will set your future. why wouldn't we do everything we can to make that as easy as possible? So if you have a child who does suffer with anxiety or dyslexia, because might I say you can't get an NHS diagnosis for dyslexia, you have to pay for it. It's the only way you can get your child diagnosed. Why would we not do everything possible to make that as easy and, you know, stress-free for a child? I don't understand this one-size-fits-all system. Even children who don't have SEND and, you know, neurodiversities or disabilities find exam situations extremely stressful, and their children... Why are we complaining about the fact that parents want their children to have concessions, to make these situations as easy as possible? When they get a job, they're not going to be expected to sit there for 2 hours in silence.
It's the financial aspect that some people would point to, Becky, and the fact that it costs billions of pounds, and whether it can be continued. That's what...
Well, I could argue where billions of pounds are being wasted in this country. You know, how about... I don't have the same political view as you, but I would say that these multinational companies which are not paying the right amount of tax in this country, they could support us a little bit more.
All right. Becky, thank you for your input. Best wishes to all your children. Julia says, my son, who's 32 now, told me that some parents get false assessments for their children to get extra time in exams and other benefits. It's not new. Alex in Enfield, I work in CAMHS, which is Children Adolescent Mental Health Supply Services. Parents are often going private, psychologists and psychiatrists, to get diagnosis, especially if CAMHS has not given them one. Unfortunately, they'll get a diagnosis due to paying for it. Specialist schools are not available in most boroughs. Catherine's in Sidmouth on this. Catherine, your story. Good morning.
Morning. Hi.
Hello.
Yes. So, hi. So I'm coming both from a sort of professional but also personal in terms of a parenting perspective as well. So my eldest son, who's 20, has quite a rare genetic disorder and has had additional needs from birth. And it's really been a fight. Mm-hmm. That's the whole journey, really. So we've had to sort of appeal at every stage, from getting him assessed to getting an EHC to then having to appeal again because the EHC wasn't being put in place. And
right.
The most recent journey, he's turned, obviously, 20 in the summer. So there's this kind of sense of them really dropping off the cliff, age 19. And
what's meant to happen to them then? I don't understand these individuals.
So in theory, you're allowed to have education support until the age of 25, but by the time they reach 19, there are certain criteria then that kick in that you have to show that the education is still needed. So our latest appeal has been to allow him to have support to move on to a sort of education-specific setting that is going to meet his wishes and his outcomes.
But what is the ultimate goal for this fellow?
So the ultimate goal is to hopefully have semi-independent living,
right,
and to hopefully have some meaningful type of supported employment. And
I was going to say, he hopefully the fellow can do a job, can he?
I think
types of job, obviously.
Very certain types of job, but I think part of the issue is also... you know, for employers, it is difficult, I think, because you really need an inclusive employer that is going to have the kind of capacity to onboard somebody like my son and be patient. And, you know, over time, they will get a very motivated, committed individual. But it's, you know, I do understand that is challenging in the current context for employers. But
lastly, Catherine, do you recognise what a lot of teachers are saying is that not you, but some people do work the system, do manipulate the system?
I think it is really difficult. And the other end of the spectrum for me is I have another child who is displaying some difficulties with kind of learning. Mm. And that's a really challenging one for us now, because it's like...
How old is that child?
So that one is 16. Oh. And I think we're not trying to work the system at all, but I guess we're trying to make sure there's enough understanding.
Well, of course you are. Catherine, best wishes. Do let us know how you get on. I have to move on, but I hope it goes well for your children. We'll return to this conversation. But let's return to a conversation we were having around this time yesterday, following the comments made earlier in the year at a Conservative dinner in Birmingham by Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick.
It was one of the worst integrated places that I've ever been to. In fact, in the hour and a half that I was filming with news there, I didn't see another white face. And that's not the kind of country I want to live in.
Well, he's come under attack, not least from the former Conservative mayor for the West Midlands, Andy Street, who said it, Handsworth, actually a very integrated place. If you go along the main streets there, you will see Sikhs, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, a lot of them African, Caribbean origin, and, of course, white people as well. We decided to send LBC's George to the area to see what the locals were saying. George.
Well, Nick, those comments from the Shadow Justice Secretary have been received, it's fair to say, very badly in Handsworth, with some people telling me they don't think he can have actually visited the same place that they call home.
He should definitely quit. Very dangerous views he have, especially as a politician.
He doesn't need me to show him around. Like, it's a diverse community. There's all sorts of ethnicities here. Everybody wants to just live and get on.
I have a neighbour, he's white as well, and I have seen a lot of whites in there. No, that's not true. Yeah, they make up some things which is not exist.
It's views like that that are seriously harming society right now. And I get it, you know, everyone's suffering, but when you're trying to cause division between the people, it doesn't help anybody.
Please stop doing this. It's shameful, it's a disgrace, and you should know better.
Now, Nick, for some context, Robert Jenrick made those comments back in March this year while speaking at a Conservative Association dinner. While he was there, most days we were on air from Birmingham with you as the bin strike went all out into action with rubbish piling up across most of the streets in the city centre, not just in Handsworth. Now, Muzz is an anti-hate crime campaigner in Birmingham who says his comments are irresponsible.
How dare you use the language you're using? Is he blind to the consequences? Every single day we're hearing about racist attacks in our community. We're hearing people scared to go out. Muslim women saying they can't go to parks. They're looking over their shoulders. And we're seeing the consequences. They're igniting, you know, the flames, the attacks within our city. And where will this end? When will they stop? Can they not see what's coming? This has to stop. The politicians have to stop doing what they're doing, blaming migrants, blaming people of colour, blaming Muslims.
Well, Handsworth is also home to reggae artist Apache Indian, who gave me a message for Robert Jenrick.
The message to Robert very, very clearly is that, you know, he said something about this is not the country that he wants to live in. The message for you is go and live somewhere else. Definitely. Step down. Definitely step down. How irresponsible can you be?
So, Nick, I think it's safe to say that after those comments, Robert Jenrick will not be top of the VIP guest list for the Diwali Mela or switching on the Christmas lights in Handsworth this year. But what does he say about it? He says he won't shy away from the issues of integration, and Tory leader Kemi Badenoch defended her colleague, saying the comments had been taken out of context and do not amount to racism.
LBC's George Ike reporting. Coming up after the news, the supposed funny man.
In the 50s, my parents emigrated from Jamaica to Dudley. Yeah, Nancy, I'm going to say that again just for you. They emigrated from Jamaica to Dudley. Why? What was my dad thinking?
That's Sir Lenny Henry. I never found him funny. He's now suggesting all black British people personally deserve slavery reparations. We'll look at that in more detail. And as the scriptwriters put the finishing touches to Kemi Badenoch's speech at the Conservative Party conference, we'll be watching it through the eyes of certain demographics.
I'm Nigel in Clacton, and I'll reveal what I want to hear from Kemi Badenoch in her conference speech.
And I am Jane in Swindon, and I will also be giving my view on the Tories.
And I'm the Essex man, Greg, in Great Dunmo.
Those crucial voting demos, Essex man, Swindon woman, and a bloke called Nigel in Clacton, all coming up later on the show. 8.31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari on LBC. The news from Thomas Watts.
A minister has told Nick the government had nothing to do with the collapse of a Chinese spying case. The Crown Prosecution Service has claimed it had to be dropped because of a refusal to designate Beijing a threat to national security. Kemi Badenoch will put the economy at the centre of her leader's speech as she closes the Conservative Party conference this morning. She will set out a new golden rule that half of savings from cuts must go towards reducing the deficit. Sir Keir Starmer's arrived in India for a trade mission with a group of senior British business leaders, but the Prime Minister's resisted calls to set up new visa routes for Indian workers. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, a few light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
I am shocked beyond belief at how open, rampant, widespread the support for Hamas is, the anti-Semitism is. It's overt and everywhere. And it really worries me. There are plenty of ways of making your voice heard without having to associate yourself with people like that.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on your radio, on our free Global Player app, or the LBC app.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
Have you done any jobs since I was away? It's been 10 years, people change.
We're going to steal a painting from the biggest gallery in Spain.
You've only been out 2 minutes. If your daughter rocks up, what are you going to offer her? Half a dozen eggs or the chance to be set for life? But first we have to gather the team.
Starring Saran Jones.
That mouth got you in trouble before, has it?
Yeah. Yours.
And Jodie Whittaker.
We come up with a plan and we execute it.
Some friendships are criminal. New drama, Frauds. Available now on ITVX.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
I just gone 8:34. Let's stay with our conversation about special education needs and disabilities. If you're just joining the show and the alarm went about 4 or 5 minutes ago, this is because a large number of teachers, or admittedly a small poll, just over 1,000, but a large number of which, 70%, said that in many instances the parents are gaming the system. This is because it gives them extra time, or there's lessons that, well, in the ultimate, you get one-to-one, you can get a laptop and various other provisions. Holly in Billericay. Hello, Billericay. Holly, what do you say to this? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. I was diagnosed as being dyslexic at 8 years old, and actually throughout my GCSEs and my A-levels, I refused any extra time because I didn't want to be any different to my friends.
Right. And how did that, looking back, did that disadvantage you, Holly?
No, not at all.
And what? So why would you not wanted to have, if you could have got extra help, how did the exams go? Were you pleased with the results you got?
Yeah, I came out with all B's. I was actually predicted all E's just because I was dyslexic. So,
what level is your dyslexia?
At the time, it was quite bad when I was around 8. But where I did have some additional help. My parents paid for me to go to not a private school, but have private lessons once a week for a couple of years. I was taught how to manage my dyslexia and understand my dyslexia. So that was what my parents done. In the schools, there was less support, but there was the extra time. I didn't feel like I needed it.
Let me ask you this. Have you got children yourself, or do you have girlfriends?
No.
Do you have girlfriends who are having children?
Yes.
Do they talk about issues? Do some of their children have potential ascend, and what level of support are they getting?
None at the moment. My friend's children are very young, so not at the moment. But there is this definite, I do see this, that we're getting in this area. Every child seems to have to be diagnosed with something in order to explain they are the way they are. Instead of a bit of a toughen up, buttercup kind of approach. You know, I went through a phase when I was in year 8 where I didn't want to go to school. No rhyme or reason, nothing to do with my dyslexia. I was just in year 8 and didn't want to go to school. I'd much rather stay in bed. However, there are kids that also have additional needs, and that shouldn't be overlooked. However, we are now allowing kids to say that they feel a certain way instead of maybe just sending them to school.
But you'll need the wisdom of Solomon, won't you, to work out who is a genuine case and who is perhaps faking it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So how is that to be done, Holly? Excuse me. How is that to be done?
I don't have the answers to that, unfortunately.
When you look back on your school time, happy memories?
Yes, very happy memories.
And were there other pupils in your class who did avail themselves of extra time at exams or whatever it might be?
There was only one other person in my entire year group who got extra time, and that was through having anxiety. And she did have a need.
And how did the rest of the class feel towards her?
Everyone was quite supportive.
Right. But you don't think they would have been to you?
No, I think they would have been. I just didn't want it. I didn't feel like I needed it. I didn't want to be any different from my friends, and it didn't affect my outcomes.
Glad you did well. Holly, thank you. We'll come back to that conversation in a moment. Dwayne, you want to talk about that visit that our reporter took to the Handsworth area of Birmingham in the light of the Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick's comments. But let's, in a related story in a sense, I suppose, Seleni Henry, who I have to admit I've never found particularly funny, but he's trying to hit a serious note here. arguing that Britain should pay slavery reparations to the country's black population. He's co-written a book called The Big Payback, which supports the case for the UK to hand over £18 trillion. Yes, you did hear that correctly. That's £18 trillion. I can't even work out how many years of the health service that would pay for. The health service currently comes in about £190 billion a year. So I just, honestly, it staggers my mind. In compensatory payments, he's argued, in favour of a vast cash transfer to Caribbean nations, but also for money to be given to individual black British citizens. Most of Britain's 2.4 million black population is direct African descent, and therefore not the descendants of people from the Caribbean. Who's going to make sense of this? Let's turn to my LBC colleague. He's on the team sheet Saturdays and Sundays from noon. Ali Miraj joins me now. Good to have you on board, Governor. What do you say to this, Ali? Morning.
Morning, Nick. It's complete nonsense. It's not going to work. I mean, who's going to get this money? Who's going to arbitrate who's going to be eligible for this money? And by the way, the sons are never attributable, or should not be attributable, for the sins of the father. I mean, why on earth should I, as a British person of Pakistani descent, be paying reparations for something I had nothing to do with, nor did my ancestors have anything to do with? In fact, if we're going to play that game, Nick, I should be getting reparations from the British for all the havoc they cause with the partitioning of India and Pakistan.
He will argue the reason we have racism today, Ali, and also why black British people are grossly overrepresented in the prison population, all because of the transatlantic slave trade. Is there anything to his argument in that aspect, Ali?
I don't buy that, Nick. I've had this conversation many times on my shows. People, obviously, it's a very emotive issue. It's a very powerful issue. And I do understand that there are structural issues from a hereditary point of view that people are having to deal with here. But this is not going to help people today. If you're going to deal with issues that pervade certain parts of the community, you have to engage in things that are going to help them today. You give a man a fish, it's not going to actually help him improve at all. You teach a man to fish, it will actually transform his life. This is going to do nothing. Slavery was an absolutely abhorrent part of our history. There were hundreds of thousands of people that fought for that slavery to be abolished. Are the sons and daughters of those people going to have to pay to the slaves that their ancestors helped to free? This is not going to work. It's nonsense. What I do think, Nick, could happen is if the families of slave owners at the time want to do it, like the Trevelyans and like others who want to assuage their consciences now and make themselves feel better, on a private element want to do it, fine, no problem with that. But I, as a British taxpayer, should not have to pay for slavery. The argument given on the contrary, Nick, is that, well, the state has paid to the slave owners over time, and we just finished paying that a few years ago. Fine, that was to abolish slavery. Payments had to be made, and we've had to do that via bonds that the state had to pay via taxpayers. But I don't think it's appropriate for me to pay for the sins of slavery at all, quite frankly.
Lastly, a couple of days away yet, but any ideas what you'll be putting to the listeners on Saturday, Ali?
Nick, I always decide on the day in the morning at 6 o'clock, so I don't know yet, honestly. Okay. I mean, I think we might be trying to dissect what's probably happened in some of the Tory party conference this week, which is been interesting. They come out with some policies. I don't know, we shall see, but it's not looking good for them. Let's just put it that way.
Ali Miraj, LBC's presenter on the team sheet Saturdays and Sundays from noon. Thanks, Ali. Have a good one. 8:41 is the time. Let's come back to what we're saying. Well, a couple of emails. The one on SEND. Send Janice says, my grandson has SEND needs. He's 16. He was diagnosed with autism at primary school. His primary school's years were excellent. He had one-to-one support throughout. His secondary school, despite meetings, promises and working together, don't follow through. Endless meetings, phone calls and emails still leaving him very isolated, not able to cope. He's had no one to support him for over 4 years. On the idea of what Mr. Jenrick has said, John in Hartlepool, racism hasn't changed. What Jenrick said suggests non-white people can never be English or British because of the colour of their skin. The callers may say this himself. Racism is overused. We need to call out racism if we're going to overcome it. Dwayne in Lewisham wants to talk on the Robert Jenrick comments. Dwayne, your point. Good morning.
You're right, Nick.
Yeah, so go ahead.
The reason why Jenrick is an idiot, amongst other things, right?
Yes.
And his statement is clumsy. Right?
I agree, totally.
Yeah, so, and there's no way back from the statement, in my opinion, right? And the reason being is because if you say, I didn't see another white face, for example, and that implies that there's been, that everyone's a foreigner, then what would have happened if he walked into an area and everyone's Polish? Right. Is everyone foreign then, or not? Or is it different because they're white?
I think the point he's making, and if you read subsequent interviews, he's saying... Yeah. It's not healthy that an area that let's choose an example. Where, okay, right, you live in Lewisham, an area I know very well. Blackheath is predominantly quite a white area. Do you agree? It's not healthy that you have white enclaves. There should be more black people in Blackheath, and there should be more white people in Lewisham, and there should be
I disagree. I disagree, because I've lived here, and when you say it's not healthy, I go through Blackheath every single day, and because there's no difference to me because of the level of white people or white faces.
Maybe that's a bad example, but I don't know, Hansworth. is it not healthy that there is a good number of white people in any area, or a good number of black people, or a good number of Asian people?
No, I get the sentiment, but that's not what he was trying to portray. Because if that's the case, where does he live?
How many multicultural
faces around where he lives?
Well, he's the MP for Newark in Nottinghamshire. He will have a place in London, but okay, Newark, Nottinghamshire, which I would imagine is probably, I don't know, but my sense is it's probably going to be quite a white area, I would have thought. I don't know Newark that well.
But, okay, well, and what if he said, I feel that everybody, you know, there's no one here like me, everybody's here Jewish.
Right.
It would be disingenuous. You can't...
Right. Well, of course, interestingly enough, in that instance, he's actually married to a Jewish woman, so that even has extra resonance. Dwayne, thank you for that. We'll come back to our conversation concerning the provision of send. Lola, you'll be the caller on that. We'll also be looking ahead of what... God, how many times do you hear this? It's a make-or-break speech. I know I get as tired of it as you do. But it was a crucial one for Sir Keir Starmer, as I said at the conference in Liverpool last week, and it is a crucial one. For Kemi Badenoch, later at the Conservative Conference in Manchester, we'll look ahead to that. But also, in the next hour, we'll celebrate the greatest musical ever performed.
Bring him home. Bring him home. And
if you thought I was going to talk over that, you've got a long thing coming. Anybody who knows me, my sons will be roaring with laughter, thinking, is he going to burst into tears? I saw that performed, I think, for the 20th anniversary at the O2. Do you remember the Dancing on Ice judge, Jason? Do you remember him? The two of us sobbing in each other's arms as our respective partners looked on. What the hell has happened to these two guys? It is the greatest musical ever performed. Michael Ball, who was in the original cast, will join us in the next hour. It's 8:45, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
A minister's told Nick the government had nothing to do with the collapse of a Chinese spying trial. Kemi Badenoch will put the economy at the centre of her leader's speech when she closes the Tory party conference later. And the Prime Minister is in India for a trade mission with a group of senior business leaders. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Lucy Knowles. One lane is closed on the M20 due to barrier repairs westbound after Junction 9 for Ashford. On the M23, there are queues southbound due to an accident earlier. That's from Junction 8 for the M25 to Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport. The M4 is stop-start onto the elevated section eastbound from Junction 3 for Hayes to Junction 2 for Brentford. In southeast London, there are delays on the A2 westbound between Danson Interchange and Kidbrook Interchange. And on the trains, there are delays on Chiltern Railways between Harrow on the Hill and Wendover. That's due to signal problems, and there are minor delays on the Metropolitan line between Moor Park and Amersham and Moor Park and Chesham. That's again due to signal problems.
This is LBC.
With the long hot summer still fresh in the memory, it's easy to forget what's around the corner. Prepare your BMW for whatever the Great British weather can muster with a BMW seasonal inspection. For just £39.99, our expert technicians we'll top up fluids and oil, check the essentials like tyres, wipers and battery, and return your BMW washed, vacuumed and winter ready. Search BMW Seasonal Inspection. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Play Set for Life from the National Lottery. Winners get 10K every month for 30 years. You could win on repeat. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay? But I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are here. 2 days of big deals on electronics, home, kitchen and more. That'll make you feel less like... and more like... feel like a big deal. Amazon Prime Big Deal Days are the 7th and 8th of October. Exclusively for Prime members. Shop now.
For anyone needing assistance when travelling with TfL, such as people with visual or mobility impairments, our Turn Up and Go service has staff on hand to help. It's available at all London Underground, London Overground and Elizabeth Line stations, and there's no need to book. Just turn up and go. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
This is LBC. Message Nick Ferrari on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60 973.
Just turned 8:49. Lola, I'm going to be talking to you about one of your children who has SEN, but just a quick comment on the Lenny Henry, sorry, Sir Lenny Henry, I've degraded him, arguing that Britain should pay, get ready for this, £18 trillion in reparations to black people because of slavery. That would bankrupt the country many times over. John's in Coventry. John, your reaction to what he's saying. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. I just want to say that it's very unfair to Lenny Henry down as unfunny, because after his comments this morning, I'm looking up incontinence pants because it's hilarious. I mean, it's the funniest thing he's ever said.
That's clever. Excuse me, you shouldn't, because I've got a bit of a cold and now I'm going to cough. So you don't give it a lot. You don't give it a lot of merit.
No, not at all. I mean, so say if you're a slave back in 1720 or whatever, and you have five children, and they all have five children, and then exponentially, and they all get a ticket to come to the UK because of the Commonwealth rules. I mean, that's like a lottery ticket. Half the world's trying to get to the UK at the moment.
Yeah.
So isn't that just fair dues?
Well said. That's an absolutely very, very clever call, John. Let's end it there because it was witty, succinct, to the point. Well done. I think you might be caller of the day, so you can be milk monitor tomorrow. Which I mean, milk monitor, what the hell's he on about? Well, if you're a certain age when you went to school, if you've been a good boy or girl, you got to hand little bottles of milk around, so it was like an accolade to be milk monitor. John of Coventry, you are the milk monitor. Let's talk about schooling now with Lola in Islington. Lola, tell me the story. Is it one of your children, I understand? Is that right?
Yes, I've got two SEN children and with two very different profiles. We've got one child who's got intellectual disabilities, and you can tell just from looking at him that he's got disabilities. And we've got another child who is highly intelligent, but also with complex needs. And my son sat down and listening to the teacher and saying, how do teachers know? Because they are not professionals in understanding the difficulties. He's been assessed by an educational psychologist, a speech and language therapist, an occupational therapist, a psychiatrist.
Oh, all of them,
doctors, very, very well educated. They know their stuff. Are the teachers saying that the educational psychologist doctors are falsifying documents? Because that's what we're
getting. In many cases, yes, but not in all, is what they would say. Don't you think that's fair? Do you not think that's fair?
I think it's such a minority for it to even be a topic area.
Okay. You're utterly convinced that every child that is given one of these or given an EHCP, every single child...
They're not given.
No, if they're given, they all fulfil the necessary criteria.
Most definitely. It's an incredibly rigorous process. It's not going in for one talk. This happens over months, over years to ascertain what this child's needs are. And I am suspecting that they're talking about children like my eldest, who is very cognizant, very eloquent in speaking, but he does have complex needs. He's so intelligent, but at one point he couldn't read or write. what he could tell you about back to the moon, and he can tell you about engineering, and he can tell you about things. And on the surface, it, to the untrained eye, this can look like someone is trying to game it. Because what we're saying is that people and children, and let's call them people because their children are people, we're saying that they can't have difficulties while being intelligent.
In what way then, how do those difficulties present themselves with your child?
So I'll talk about the one who I think teachers will talk about in this way. He, for one instance, he is severely dyslexic. So by the time, even though with one-to-one sessions, he couldn't really hold a pen, he couldn't really write, he wrote really slow. But if you speak to him, his mind is amazing, it's beautiful, and I can understand why sometimes you can't marry the two together.
So I've just looked up the figures, Lola, lastly. There are currently 1.7 million pupils with SEND, special education disability. That represents 19.6, so let's say 20% of the school's population. That's one in five children. Are you buying that?
Well, it will be to some degree. I do buy that. I do buy that now that we do understand more, that there will be more. And I think we're mixing the conversation together, because on one side you're saying that people are gaming it, and another side you're saying that the numbers are rising. Those are two different conversations.
No, then would they not be related, lastly?
They are related, but at the bottom line of it is that there isn't enough to go around.
All right. Good luck with your son, Lola. Thank you. Dan's in Larkfield in Kent. Morning, Dan.
Good morning, Nick. How you doing?
I'm good. How's Larkfield today? Lovely part of the world.
Yeah, big grin there.
Yeah.
In terms of the kind of big conversation around special needs, you know, my day job is managing a department for support for those learners with special needs and EHCPs in mainstream college.
Right.
And I like to think I come across it from a very fair and balanced perspective. You know, we support many young people and their families who have been through the ringer, for better term, you know, have really struggled through the education system. You know, parents, young people are heightened because they've had to go through a rigorous process, time-consuming process, monetary process to do so. But on the same time, I've also had parents phone me and say, how do I get one of these EHCP things to help me with my benefits? So I'm seeing both sides of the situation. You know, those conversations.
You mean financial benefits, just to clarify?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if it still is the case, but certainly, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, if you had an EHCP, it almost fast-tracked the PIP process. So, you know, there was active thought given to families in that process. And in terms of the bigger picture, I think the problem lies within the approaches within, you know, the school system, the mainstream inclusion system, but now obviously with the government reviewing the SEND situation, the white paper, I think there needs to be a huge, huge emphasis on what it means to be inclusive within education. And with that comes a real honest conversation around, well, let's take in consideration league tables. You know, there is this drive to have, you know, recognition within the school system around how we perform. Now, many learners with SEND and EHCPs will affect that data.
Right.
So how they do it, though, young people come to the mainstream college, you know, who probably are significantly behind where they should be for 16, 17-year-olds in the school education system, who has been, you know, difficulties with their learning or their social, emotional, mental health needs, and aren't getting the right support. Partly because obviously the money doesn't cover that, you know, certainly from, you know, a perspective of looking at how you manage resource and finance to provide support, it's very, very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that.
But you work in this field. Can I ask you, what level of manipulation do you see on a daily or weekly basis?
I think it's not so much that now. I mean, certainly had those phone calls in the past, but I think what we are seeing is as you reach the post-16 sector, you really should be working towards supporting young people to prepare for adulthood and prepare for work.
Mm.
And we experience many situations, and I do not blame families for having this view, where the young learner continues to be almost, for a better term, bubble-wrapped for security and protection because they've been through a difficult system. And actually that delays that transition to help build resilience and confidence and self-esteem ready for the world of work and to the next phases. And we have learners who, you know, finish out of college and will go to another college, the view that we have the plan to which 25. Well, the plan's there to 25 if extra time is required. And actually, when we've seen students who have reached a plateau point with ability, that's when the other services should be stepping in, and they're not as well. You know, some of the services support the ESG process, health and social care, you know, actively holding back, putting their support forward until education really is finished as well. So young people remaining in education inappropriately beyond the age of 19, 20, because the plan allows for it as well. So, yeah, a very sort of, hopefully, a balanced perspective to situations.
Absolutely balanced, and I'm very grateful to you. Thank you, Dan. I will let you get on with your day as you work in such a crucial area. Let's just start to round off the hour with some comments that are coming in concerning Sir Lenin Henry's idea that we should pay £18 trillion in reparations for slavery to black people in this country. Simon has pointed out, at the end of 2023, the estimated UK net worth was £12.7 trillion. £18 trillion would bankrupt the entire country and everyone in it. Either he's saying it to make a point or he is deluded. Same subject, this comes in from Ian Rimmington. On the subject of paying reparations with respect to the slave trade, how would this extend to countries such as France, who routinely took slaves from the UK, as did the Vikings, and there's only a couple of hundred years between those events? All right, we'll tell you in a moment what's coming up, but just before we move to tell you what's coming after the news, as I've been telling you, we're going to celebrate 40 years of Les Miserables, and I cannot tell you the level of abuse that I get regularly from a texter called Sean. It's fantastic. It makes my last marriage look positively pleasant. It's really full on. Sean says, I don't generally agree with you on anything. I find you a Farage's conservative stooge. But this morning, we can coalesce around Les Miserables being the best musical ever performed. Whether it's the historical context, the lyrics, the music, the atmosphere, or just the story, it gets me every time. From humour to tear-jerking emotion, it's wonderful. Sean, at last, you and I are on the same page. But will the nation be on the same page with the woman who leads His Majesty's opposition? What do you want to hear?
I'm Nigel in Clacton, and I'll reveal what I want to hear from Kenny Bardenoch in her conference speech.
And I am Jane in Swindon, and I will also be giving my view on the Tories.
And I'm the Essex man, Greg, in Great Dunmow.
Plus, the fur is flying about taking cats on the London Underground, as it's seen on a promotional video, to even let them out of their baskets or containers. Have you ever seen a cat in a tube? And especially for me and for my new best friend, Sean, we celebrate 40 years of Les Miserables with one of the original cast. Yes, Michael Ball. All that and more in the next hour after the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, a minister has insisted the government had nothing to do with the collapse of a Chinese spying trial. The espionage case against two men, including a former parliamentary researcher, was dropped last month. Prosecutors say it followed many months of trying to obtain evidence, labelling Beijing a threat to national security. The water minister, Emma Hardy's been speaking to Nick.
It's nothing to do with what this government has done or hasn't done. This is based on 2023. And as the PM said yesterday, and of course, you know, Prime Minister knows about all this stuff because he used to be a director himself. As he said, you can't retrospectively go back and change a stance on something from the past. So that's the facts around the case.
Kemi Badenoch will close the Conservative Party conference with a focus on the economy this morning. She will set out a golden rule that half of all money saved from cuts must be put towards driving down the deficit. It follows a promise to cut £47 billion of spending by restricting welfare and shrinking the civil service. Sir Keir Starmer's arrived for a trade visit to India, accompanied by dozens of business leaders.
This is the biggest trade mission that the United Kingdom has ever sent to India. And I think it's really good evidence of just how strong the relationship is and how many business opportunities there are.
It follows the signing of a trade deal with his Indian counterpart, Narendra Modi, earlier this year. The Prime Minister's also played down the prospect of new visa routes for Indian workers and students. A second man has been arrested in connection with an arson attack at a mosque in East Sussex. Police had released images of two people wearing balaclavas at the building in Peacehaven on Saturday night. The suspects are being questioned on suspicion of arson with intent to endanger life. Jaguar Land Rover is set to resume some of its manufacturing after a shutdown caused by a cyber attack. Thousands of staff are returning to work at several sites in the West Midlands and on Merseyside today. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading up 25 at 95.09. The pound buys $1.33 and a euro 15. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places. A few light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Right, that's it. Come on, lights out. You've got a test tomorrow.
Just 2 minutes. I'm about to reach the next level.
It's going off now.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's see. Where's the app? Oh, here it is. Ha.
What? How?
Oh, no. You're out. Better luck next
Mom!
Time.
Mom!
It's game over for late nights on school nights. EE Wi-Fi controls help you get them off the Wi-Fi and into bed. More parents are choosing EE Broadband, the UK's fastest growing broadband provider.
To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning to you, 3 minutes after nine, Wednesday, October the 8th, coming up later today. That speech from Kemi Badenoch, and we'll be asking what you want to hear. We'll go to key voting demographics even, but just as importantly, want to get your take on that. Plus the row over the London Underground as a charity urges the Tube to cancel what they call is a shocking video showing people taking their cats on the Tube. Now, I appreciate many of you don't live in London, but hopefully you visit it and many of you know how it operates. I'd have thought with the noise and the banging of the doors, a cat is the last place they want to be. Have you ever seen a cat on the Tube? And a self-indulgence in a way, but my mate Sean loves it too. 40 years of Les Miserables. We'll speak with Michael Ball.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
As with all party conferences, so I don't say this in any way of a critical fashion of the Conservatives, as with all party conferences, there is already a fair amount of orchestration going on as to what our expectation should be that we hear from Kenny Badenoch, the party leader, today. One newspaper, The Times, suggesting she will set out a golden rule to cut spending and borrowing. Well, I spoke with the Conservative leader yesterday, and I put it to her that in the light of the Conservatives tanking in the polls, remember they were 26% when she took over almost a year ago, they're now 16. Dozens of councillors have defected to reform, they've lost hundreds of councillors in total, and they've also lost party members. It's failing under her leadership. This was her response.
The metric of success will be at the next general election. Remember, Nick, oppositions, the last oppositions were 14, 13, 18 years. I've been doing the job 11 months. This conference is where we are showing the direction of travel, a stronger economy, stronger borders, and that we're the only party tough enough and competent enough to deliver both. That doesn't mean that mistakes weren't made. We had a historic defeat last year. It's going to take time to come back from that. But what I am doing is making sure people understand what conservatism is again.
But if this was like football, Mrs. Badenoch, you need to look across to Old Trafford, of the manager of Manchester United, Ruben Amorim, who keeps saying, give me time, and keeps losing matches. You're losing councillors, you're losing support, you're losing members, and you want more time. You are the Ruben Amorim of politics, Mrs. Badenoch.
Well, that is certainly not the case. What we are doing is shedding a lot of the baggage of the last 14 years. I remember last year we had people defecting to Labour because Labour was doing well in the polls. Now we have people defecting to Reform because Reform is doing well in the polls. We need people who are in our party for the right reasons. If I may, Nick.
Please.
People who are in our party for the right reasons. Reform wants to increase welfare. Reform wants nationalisation. Those are not Conservative policies. We are the only party of fiscal responsibility. And what I do know is that things are going to improve, but we need to build from the right foundations.
Well, it's all words, words, words at the moment. So what is the reality? Let's go first to Swindon Woman. Now, Swindon is considered a bellwether town in British politics. It often reflects national trends, and political parties have been seeking to get Swindon Woman on board for some time. Jane, in Swindon, joins me now. What do you want to hear? Might I ask, and you don't have to tell me, what has your sort of voting record been of late? Good morning, Jane.
My voting record of late, I actually did vote Tories. I just didn't want a Labour government to get in. The last disaster under Tony Blair and co, which it was great in the beginning, and I did benefit from it, I would say. You know, it took me back into education.
Right.
I became a nurse.
Ah.
But towards the end of their leadership, you know, and their government, it was a disaster. I looked forward to the Conservatives getting in.
Mm-hmm.
I did understand, which many of my colleagues didn't agree, when our wages were capped. You know, there was no money left in the pot. You know, something has to suffer.
Yeah.
But then under the Tory government, we didn't get a pay rise for years. And basically, it priced a lot of us out of London. You know, I'm born and raised in London.
Right.
A lot of my colleagues were living in London. They just couldn't afford to live there anymore. So I having worked here, well, I do work in the health service, I would love to know how they're going to turn things around with the NHS. It's not throwing money at them. The NHS is on its knees. I can say that. I can
yes.
give you some horror stories. I'd be afraid to say them. But yeah, there's horror stories, and it's on its knees. And where do we go? How do we fix this problem? And none of them seem to be, because Labour hasn't done any better since they've been in. I know it's only been a year.
Yes.
But,
has
you know,
it got worse in a year, or is it still as bad as the Conservatives? Is it as bad as the Conservatives?
No, it's very bad. And can I just say, under Labour, now I was a manager, I know not to name places, I was a manager of a team in a hospice. This hospice is just brinking on the point of closing because of the, and this has happened to all the hospices, because of what they brought in with the National Insurance last year. I know with the minimum wage, you know, rightly so, people have to be paid. That did affect our hospice. That cost us £250,000 in wages across of everybody that was on a minimum wage. The nurses never got a pay rise for 3 to 4 years, of course.
Yes.
They were looking back into the NHS because, I don't know if you know this, but most hospices are charity run. They're
yes,
not run by the NHS.
Yes.
I speak to a lot of my colleagues. They are absolutely on their knees. I received a letter the other day because I actually live in the area of my hospice.
Right.
And I was told in a meeting last year, being such a senior nurse, that when things get dire, we will go out to the public and we will beg them for money. And that letter came a couple of weeks ago.
Let me just ask you this last, because I've got other callers to get to. Jane, so you're crucial. You're a nurse. You work in this bellwether area. You live, I'm sorry, and work in this bellwether area. So, should she address reform? Should she say the F word, as in Farage? Or not?
Well, I mean, they can. The best of it is they argue amongst each other all day long. Like, we look at ours, we'll be better, and what have you. But nobody's sitting down with a big proper plan and saying this is what we're going to do. There's a lot of backbiting between each other. Oh, you know,
yep.
Farage talks about the immigration. You know, then all of a sudden everybody's seen as racist because anybody wants to mention the immigration kind of word. She should just just concentrate on what they're going to do for the.
What they're going to do. Jane, I will let you get on. Thank you. Please excuse me cutting off because I've got others to get to. So Jane is Swindon woman. Listening is Greg in Great Dunmo, Essex man. Now, this was coined back in the 80s to describe a key type of swing voter who helped Margaret Thatcher's Conservative Party win, win, and win again. Essex becoming symbolic of that demographic change. Greg in Great Dunmo joins me now. Thanks for coming on, sir. What would you like to hear from the Conservative leader? What sort of side of the fence do you normally vote on? Good morning.
Hi, morning. I'm normally a national voter for Conservatives and locally LRA when it's local. But, if she's focusing on economy this morning, I think it's the sort of, well, to me, it's the second priority. Number one is immigration.
Right.
But it's a hot potato that they just keep passing down the line. They had plenty ample opportunity to do something with it,
yep.
and they never did.
Yep.
And obviously Labour don't want anything to do with it because it's in their interest not to. So economy, yes, it's costing me £150 a week to feed my family of four, which is astronomical and horrible.
Yep.
But if they're not going to be here for the next 3 to 4 years, I don't really care what she's got to say. It's the problems now that is. I don't know any of their policies. I don't know what she stands for, what she wants. Of course, opposition is just the opposite to everything else. But we're so far down the line, it doesn't matter.
Can I ask you, should she say the F word, as in Farage? He's been mentioned ceaselessly by Ed Davey, even more by the Prime Minister and most of his cabinet. What would your advice be to the speechwriters?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's living rent-free in her head and in Starmer's. So, yeah, it's
So should she ignore him this time?
Pardon?
Should she not mention Farage, perhaps, and make a break with what Davy and Sir Keir Starmer did?
I don't think it matters, Nick. I don't think anyone cares. They've let us down so much and Labour so bad that we're just sitting waiting for change.
Immigration, economy, says Greg, NHS and just a plan, says Swindon woman. Greg, thank you. Now let's go to a bloke called Nigel in Clacton. Joins me now. Morning, Nigel.
Morning. I'm actually in Frinton-on-Sea.
Well, that'll do, for the love of God. When it goes in copy, it's near enough. What would you want to hear? And can I ask which side of the street do you normally walk on voting day?
Well, I normally do vote Tory, but, I mean, everybody's worried about what Farage is saying, and everyone's addressing their words around him, either trying to make him sound wrong or not in control.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I think you interviewers love to ask questions that the politicians don't want to answer.
Right.
And politicians are great at swerving the answer that they know we don't want to hear.
What would you want to ask Mrs. Badenoch, were you given the opportunity? What would you ask her?
I would say just answer the questions honestly.
But what question would it be, Nigel? What would the question be?
Well, I think Jane in Swindon had nailed it on the head, really. I mean, the NHS is on its knees, and it doesn't just need money thrown at it. It needs to be fixed, and you need a proper plan. What is the plan? And the same with the immigration and NHS pay and things like that. There's never an answer. It's always side-footed, and then the other parties jump on, and everyone just goes round in circles. And as Greg said, you know, no one really believes or cares anymore because, you know, it's a bit of a circus.
F-word? Farage?
Yes, say it all the time, yes, yes.
Why? Tell me why you think that needs to be done.
Well, I just think he's a threat, and he's saying and answering. He's the only one that really does answer. I haven't voted for Farage in the past, but I mean, apart from the Trump issue, he's never really swerved the question. He appears to answer it very upfront, and if he doesn't know the answer, he says, we'll have to wait and see what happens, when nobody else ever does that.
So you, if you were helping draft a speech, you would go on the attack of Farage?
I think she's going to have to, but I don't think anybody... And that would make her sound even worse, like she's scared of it.
OK. Lastly, you're in Clacton, but if I'm right, that's... Sorry, you're in Frinton, my apologies, Frinton, but that's the Clacton constituency. If I stopped 10 people outside your front door walking down the street, how would they respond to my question, how is Farage doing?
I think 50% of them would say good and 50% of them would say not, because I think 50% of them probably voted for him.
Nigel of Clacton, thank you. Well, there you have it. Essex man, Swindon woman, Nigel in Clacton. It's the NHS. It's some kind of a plan. It's immigration. It's the economy. It's just talking the truth. It's answering a question honestly. What do you want to hear? And, of course, also looking at the idea of the F word. Should she mention Farage, as Sir Ed Davey did, as Sir Keir Starmer did, the Health Secretary, the Chancellor, and just about every senior member of the Cabinet as well? We'll take your views on that. Plus, after the news...
Be fully equipped. Travel with pet carriers, escape-proof harnesses, food and water just in case.
Rule number 2. Don't allow your pet to sit on passenger seats.
A charity has criticised Transport for London over a disturbing video in which it encourages people to bring their cats onto the tube. The Cats Protection League say it's positively inhumane. Have you ever seen a cat on the tube? And having been a cat owner, I don't have one now, but I probably own one for... Yeah, as a kid, there was always a cat. So, yeah, probably the majority of my life, there's been a cat in my life. The cats I know would have loathed the tube. We'll talk more about that as well. 9:15, LBC News Headlines, Thomas Watts.
The Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, will put the economy at the centre of her leader's speech to close the Conservative Party conference this morning. Ministers told Nick the government had nothing to do with the collapse of a major Chinese spying case, and Sir Keir Starmer's arrived in India for a trade mission with a group of senior British business leaders. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Lucy Knowles. One lane is closed on the M20 due to barrier repairs westbound after Junction 9 for Ashford. The M4 is stop-start onto the elevated section eastbound from Junction 3 for Hayes to Junction 2 for Brentford. Things are slow on the M11 southbound before Junction 4 for the North Circular Road. In Sidcup, things are slow on the A20 Sidcup bypass westbound at Criddles Corner. That's with delays to Swanleap bypass. A lane is closed on the A3 in Tolworth. That's due to an accident southbound at the A240 Kingston Road with delays to the Malden Underpass. And on the trains, there are delays on Chiltern Railways between Harrow on the Hill and Wendover. That's due to signal problems.
This is LBC. Listen on the move with the LBC app.
My mum, a legend to the end. A tough time, made easier by Co-op Funeral Care. A proper chat over a cuppa, a few classic mumisms, that camping trip in Skegness. And we've got it. A brilliant goodbye that felt right.
We're here in your community to guide, support, or simply talk things through. However you choose to say goodbye, we help you own it. Co-op. Owned by you. Right by you. Search Co-op Funeral Care for your nearest funeral home.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
People ask me, what's my good place? Checking out the food trucks on the weekend with my partner. And knowing that Pension B helped me combine my pensions into one easy-to-manage plan.
Tacos?
Tacos.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
The new single drops. The world tour begins. As artists create the music we love, you could be right there in the mix. Calling all young creatives. If you want a career in music, then listen up. Global Academy have a new 6-4 music production course. State-of-the-art studios, practical experience, hands-on learning with music professionals. Awesome! Apply now at globalacademy.com.
How will you react if you win big with Win Plus?
I can't believe it!
Enter now at winplus.co.uk to get in the draw. 18 plus GB only, T's and C's apply.
Calling all little wildlife explorers. Playmobil is now in Happy Meal. Look, is that a seal? And a sea turtle? They've been around for millions of years, just like me. Which will your little ones discover? Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 14th of October from 11 a.m. Playmobil can price toys only, subject to availability.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's feature some of the emails and texts that are coming in. What do you want to hear from Comey Bay? Let's do it slightly differently and then come to you, Derek. We are at our best when we are at our boldest. Who said that? Tony Blair, bizarrely, at a conference speech, which takes us full circle, doesn't it? This is from John. Badenoch doesn't get it. Not cut, 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 but invest, invest, invest. Same subject. Oh, another John. This comes in from another John. I think the woman needs to be given some credit. There is an enormous rebuilding job she has to do, but there has to be something positive. And the F word, as you call it, Nick, no, no, no. Do not mention Nigel Farage. It's actually an expression I use. All it's doing is providing him with more oxygen to can take over the party. All right, Derek in York. What do you want to hear, Derek? Good morning.
Good morning,
Nick. Call me Nick, Derek. Come on,
I'm sorry, I've only just got up.
I know the feeling. It's horrific.
It's the Conservatives going on and on and on again about everything they're going to do. Well, it's them that caused most of the problem we've got in this country when they did the Brexit thing.
Right.
I mean,
it was called by David Cameron. Of course, it was the public who voted for it.
Of course. Yeah. But only it was 50. How many? What was the percentage? It was 52%.
It was 52 plus 48.
Yeah, I mean, if that had been a union vote for somebody to come out on strike,
it would have been
recalled again, wouldn't
right.
it?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on rather than fighting the arguments of a decade ago. So, are they so tarnished in your view now that there's pretty much nothing Mrs. Badenoch can say?
Nothing they can do whatsoever, because they've just made a complete mess of everything, in
right.
my opinion. I mean, everybody's clobbering Labour, okay, they've only been in for a year, fair enough, but the people that are talking about the correct things that would probably get the country going again are the Green Party.
Okay, you know, what do you like from the Green Party?
Nearly everything they're saying, talking about rejoining the EU for a start, which would bring the trade back that we've lost. How much trade and businesses have we lost? Because once again, I keep mentioning the B word, Brexit.
Yeah, you're never really going to let that go, are you?
No, I aren't. No, because people are sticking their head in the sand and ignoring it. And right. that is really, let's face it, if we're honest, that's the cause
okay.
of what most of the things have gone wrong. So, I lived abroad, and I had to come back because of it all. You know,
where did you live?
I lived in Spain. I worked in Spain and everything. And, and it's you know, it's a wonderful place. And
all right. The way to go forward, says Derek, is to go back, what, 10 years almost, and revisit. Well, actually, well, the debate started even before that, didn't it? Derek, it's a view. Thank you. Let's see what others make of it. Well, having talked about those horrific, disgusting, abhorrent demonstrations, and we've talked about children with severe educational needs and the collapsing economy, you have a total change of pace and talk about cats. Pete Jackson in Ramsbottom, please stop playing the cat meowing on the tube. You're driving my dogs mad. You mean this? Just imagine the dog. That's specifically for your dogs, Mr. Jackson. I hope it's got them going again. But here's the video in question that's caused the fur to fly.
I've always wanted to ask, are they actually allowed on the tube?
Of course, pets are allowed, including cats.
You just need to remember these four simple rules.
Rule number one, be fully equipped. Travel with pet carriers, escape-proof harnesses, food and water just in case.
Rule number two, don't allow your pet to sit on passenger seats. Place them in or on their carrier or let them relax on the floor.
Rule number three, do use lifts and stairs when possible instead of an escalator.
Rule number four, don't overwhelm your pet. Consider off-peak travel and routes that provide space and comfort.
And there's a still photograph from this video featured in one of your newspapers today, the Daily Telegraph, of two passengers with their cats, with the cats out of their baskets. And they're on leads, I have to say, or harnesses, whichever one calls it. But look, I've had cats for most of my life. I grew up when I was born. There was a cat called Wendy who made 17. Then there was, I can't believe I've forgotten her name. I'll get it in a moment. The Siamese cat. What did we call it? Then there was old Simba was the most recent cat. Then there was Shabby. Shabby was a beautiful ginger cat. Oh, she was gorgeous. Then that black, what was that? Half Siamese cat. Anyway, I've had cats virtually all my life. And I like cats. I like cats. I like all animals. I like dogs as well. I can't think of anything worse for a cat than being taken on the tube. Now, understandably, cat charities are furious. Cats Protection have got involved. So let's bring into the conversation Nikki Trevorrow, who's Senior Behaviour Manager at Cats Protection. And I understand you're going to be meeting with TfL Transport for London. Why? Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, TfL this morning. So, yes, we are in exciting talks with Transport for London, and we're hoping to be able to collaborate with them with some joint messaging just to sort of show people how to, you know, travel with their cats safely and not using a hard carrier so the cat's completely contained, not using harnesses or having them on shoulders or anything like that.
Do cats like travelling on underground trains?
No, they really don't.
Have
I mean, you
asked
perfectly
them?
The cats, they hate this. Well, that, as a behaviourist, it's my professional opinion and my 20 years worth of experience and study that shows that, yes, they hate it.
Winnie.
It'll be
that
very
was the black half Siamese. Winnie, thank God. Sorry. It just came into my head, Nikki.
Gorgeous.
She was such a wise cat. You could look at, she knew what was going on. If she could have done, she'd have answered the phone, that cat. She was that smart. No questions about it. If I'd taken Winnie to, Charing Cross, she would have kicked off. How do you know when a cat's displaying distress?
So, unfortunately, compared to dogs, cats are much more subtle in their signs, so they don't have the complex facial muscles compared to social species like humans and dogs. So, therefore, we're looking at things like dilated pupils, licking up to the nose, could be a sign of stress, moving their ears around, they're usually highly alert, constantly looking around their environment. If they're on a harness, they'd be crouching down and sort of almost a commando crawling across the floor. They don't tend to walk with their tail up and absolutely fine. And you certainly can't walk a cat in the same way you'd walk a dog. You can't choose where you go. The cat would basically drag you under a bush or something. You know, like, completely different, because they've got such a different species. And most owners listening, like, they know how much the cat hates travelling in general. They hate the car.
Yeah.
So I think the train is a whole other level of stressors. And, you know, the noise, it's so busy, and it's very dangerous as well. Imagine you're getting a cat loose on the tracks. I mean, that would shut down all of London.
Well, it would shut down, but also, not always, but much of the time, the stations are extraordinarily busy. A cat is a relatively small animal. It's just not safe for anybody. Someone might fall over the cat as well.
Exactly. Completely. What? And I completely understand that they're a novelty and people love to see cats, but it's just not a safe environment for a cat, and it'd be hugely stressful for them.
Do you ride on the London Underground at all?
Right, yes, I do.
Have you ever seen a cat on the tube?
I haven't seen a cat on the tube, thankfully, but I have seen, sadly, an increase in people putting cats in harnesses and in very dangerous situations where there are so many different hazards they haven't thought about. I mean, even just dogs going past, and not all dogs are on a lead, and if something went wrong,
yeah,
you know, there's just many things to consider. You know, they could run across the road.
Yeah. Okay, and so lastly, your cat's protection is meeting with TIO, Transport for London. What do you hope comes out of that? What do you want to see happen?
So what we'd like to happen would be to have some joint messaging going forwards to advise the public on the safe ways to travel with cats. So not having cats on harnesses, but having them in a contained, you know, solid cat carrier. And posting an alternative video would be amazing on their social media. But like I say, we're in talks. We don't know what's going to happen, but hopeful.
Hopefully it will. Nikki Trevorrow, thank you. Your senior behaviour manager of the Cats Protection. And in meetings, I understand their meeting started actually at 9 o'clock, so 28 minutes in. Over this social media video, which you want taken down. Heather, thank you for that. Heather in Huntingdon, you want to talk about cats. Would you want to see a cat on the tube? Good morning.
I haven't seen one on the tube, Nick, no. And if I have dogs, and if I go to the vets, I can't sit on the same side of the vets where the cats are.
Oh, really? Oh, Lord.
So I'm really allergic to them.
Right.
So if they were to allow them to travel freely on the tube, I'd have to be somewhere where cats weren't allowed, otherwise I wouldn't be able to travel.
But I think it's cruel. Cats, I don't know if it's particularly pleasant for dogs, but they just seem slightly more robust. A cat, it's just not fair to take her, to take it on the tube.
No, I don't think it's fair on them. I think it's distressful. I think it's claustrophobic and everything else. It's bad enough for myself travelling without taking the cat on board.
Look after that. Safe travelling, Heather. Let's talk about what we're going to hear from Kemi Badenoch up in Manchester. Murdo's in Ochtomochty. What does she need to say?
Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Hello, sir.
Kemi Badenoch and the Conservative Party, what they need to do is they need to detail the cost of COVID that had on the economy, subsequently followed by the Ukraine war. That's why we're in the state we're in.
Mm.
But they leave themselves open constantly to be bombarded about Brexit. I mean, Brexit came into force during COVID, so the effect of COVID and the Ukraine war, the cost, is vast. And nobody's actually sat down and detailed that out. It's all just, you know, oh, well, we're doing this, we're doing that. It's like, well, no, let's just sit down, work out the actual figures, and you'll see why we got into the state we did. You know,
and how do we, okay, so that was then, this is now. How do we then get out of it? How do we move on?
Well, you know, we've got to face the facts. We are where we are. And one of the things, the great things about Brexit is, and the Labour Party still rattle on about it, is that trade deal that was done with America, the tech deal, that's massive.
Right.
That is absolutely massive. So how do we get out of it? We explain why we got into in the state in the first place. Here are the figures, and this is the plan to get out.
Murdo, thank you. It's explaining Brexit, it's the NHS, it's just having a plan, it's being honest, it's tackling immigration, it's sorting the economy, it's investing. So many suggestions, but how many might you hear? We'll come back to that. Plus, after news, you'll also hear...
Now you are here. Again beside me, now I can die in peace, for now my life is blessed.
And if you thought I was going to speak over a second of that, you had another thing coming. The finale performed by the original Jean Valjean, Colm Wilkinson, and we'll be speaking with Michael Ball, who was in the original cast. After this, 9:30, Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Newstime, Thomas Watts.
Hamas says it's exchanged a list of the names of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners set to be released. Indirect talks are taking place in Egypt on Donald Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza. Kemi Badenoch will put the economy at the centre of her leader's speech as she closes the Conservative Party conference this morning. She will set out a golden rule that half of savings from cuts must be put towards reducing the deficit. A minister has claimed the government had nothing to do with the collapse of a Chinese spying trial. Prosecutors say the espionage case was dropped because the government wouldn't label Beijing a national security threat. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many places, some showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC.
Your daily life often goes like this. With Air France, choose instead.
until the 21st of October. Put your daily life on hold. Take advantage of Air France Moments and book your flight to St. Martin from £679 flying from London Heathrow via Paris. Return including tax. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Running a ceramic studio is all about balance, right, Nina?
Absolutely. That's why my business deserves the new iPhone 17 Pro. It can help me handle even the busiest workday, from planning my classes to keeping my kiln on track, so my business still holds shape.
The all-new iPhone 17 Pro, as pro as your work demands. Your business deserves the most powerful iPhone on EE, the UK's best network. BT and EE, better for business.
Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays, make money work for you.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
You are going to need the hardest of hearts to get through the next minute and a half or so as we play you some of the music from the greatest musical ever staged.
Beside me, now I can die in peace, for now my life is blessed.
Oh, my friends, don't ask me what your sacrifice was for. Empty chairs and empty tables, where my friends will sing no more.
And if you thought I was going to talk over a second of that, you had another thing coming. That was real West End royalty. Colm Wilkinson. And, of course, Michael Ball. My sons will be roaring with laughter because I'm very rarely able to listen to those without bursting into tears. And it's such a privilege to have Michael Ball join me now. Hey, Governor, how are you this morning?
I'm so well, Nick, and lovely to be. I love this show, and so to be on it is a great thing.
Bless you. Right, I take you back 40 years, young Mr. Ball. Yeah. The Observer called Les Miserables Victor Hugo on a garbage dump. The Sunday Telegraph chimed in, it's a lurid Victorian melodrama that will go nowhere. 40 years on, Michael, why is it such a hit?
I think we've had revenge against the critics.
what are the critics now, eh?
well, first of all, you listen to that music and you think, okay, that's 40 years old. It's timeless. Yeah. Absolutely timeless. It was a completely new and innovative form of musical theatre that didn't fit into any particular genre. It had one of the greatest stories of all time. It had characters in it and storylines that all of us can relate to and relate to at different stages of our lives. So people come back time and again to see it. It's uplifting. It's moving. It's a perfect musical, in my opinion. I mean, I would say that, wouldn't I? But I think the very fact that the intelligentsia hated us, but the people loved us, and it was entirely because of word of mouth that this became such a huge global phenomenon.
What sort of guts did it need for Sir Cameron Mackintosh to stick with it, Michael?
Oh, massive. And, I mean, it was touch and go. We were at the Barbican Theatre, yes, when it opened, there for 8 weeks. And when we started, it was slow. We weren't getting massive houses, and it's a big show. But then the sort of the reactions that we were getting within the auditorium were incredible. Mm. Came to that sort of fatal night of opening and the negativity that was everywhere from the press. But Cameron tried to get through to the office feeling dreadful, thinking that we're going to be a flop, and couldn't get through to the Barbican because the phone lines had melted because everyone was trying to get a ticket. Incredible. And he went, okay, we'll take a punt. And he thought maybe 6 months it would be running at the Palace. And the reason it's still running, you've seen, I think, Nick, is because it's never stood still. It's keep Cameron and the team keep reinventing the show, restaging it, casting it really, really well, redesigning it. It is modern, redoing the orchestrations. But fundamentally, the show is the show, and it's a brilliant show.
How apt, because the whole story is one of sort of power to the people. Oh, that it was the people power that saved the show, and the critics can go take a walk.
Absolutely. I mean, that was crucial. Do you know, I was once doing a concert in Taiwan, in Taipei, and a version of Les Mis, Do You Hear the People Sing? Mm. And the students in Taipei were marching against the government. Do you know what they were singing? Oh, Do You Hear the People Sing? Outside the theatre as them. I mean, it is the people's musical. It is captured hearts. You know, you remember that incredible moment when Susan Boyle gets up and sings I Dreamed a Dream.
Yeah.
And we're
yeah.
all having a little bit of a snigger. And this glorious, gorgeous voice from one of the people gets up and sings that song. You can relate to it. Everybody relates to it.
Is there... No, let me rephrase it. How big a place in your heart is there for Les Mis? Because you've been in Hairspray, Chitty Chitty. Yeah. I could go on and on and on and on. But how big a place in the heart does Les Mis have?
For me, I don't think I'd have been doing... I mean, you can't second-guess the crossroads you come to in your life. But I don't think I would have had the career that I had and had the opportunities I had if it hadn't been for Les Mis. You know, it was practically my second job out of drama school. I was young, naive, and I was there at the birth of all of those great British musicals that were taking over the world. And it put me into the eye line of, obviously, Cameron McIntosh, but Andrew Lloyd Webber, and subsequently other producers, the Bill Kenwrights and so on. So it was the most important launch pad. It was the most important learning experience that anybody could possibly have wished for. So I owe pretty much everything to that fateful day that I got the...
For the thousands and thousands and thousands, millions who've listened to you, we're very grateful. What are the challenges playing Marius and Valjean?
I currently play Javert as well.
Oh, you play Javert?
I've played Valjean.
So there's only Fontaine left and you've got the whole lot, Michael.
Do you think I wouldn't do it?
Come on, dear, give it a go.
Marius was tough because he kind of appears a bit wet throughout the thing. If it wasn't for empty chairs and empty tables, I don't think he'd go on the journey he went on. They were going to cut that song.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, okay.
They were trying to cut that. Javert, though, is the role for me. I played Valjean once for Her Majesty, and I said, never again. It's hard, and it's not written for my voice. Javert, who doesn't love a baddie? But he's not a baddie. He's this conflicted, passionate, determined, old-school religious zealot who believes that right is right, and this man is wrong. And his world completely collapses when he realizes that he's put his faith in something that isn't right. It's a brilliant journey to go on. It's probably the best song, I think, in the show when you sing Stars. Another one they were going to cut.
Oh, goodness me.
I mean, there's a litany of songs that have been cut.
How incredible.
That were amazing. But, you know, when we opened, we had a 4.5-hour show. Is it going to work?
Are you at the Sondheim tonight for the special performance?
Yeah, I'm going in now to rehearse with everyone. All the alumni are getting back together.
Are you still having to keep Alfie Bowe's career going? Drag him along like a piano up a mountain.
Next
he's like a piano on ice. You drag him along, don't you?
Yeah, we've just come back from, we did our arena tour here earlier in the year, and then we went to Australia together to do the Les Mis arena tour.
Brilliant.
It's great. We both owe a great deal to Les Mis.
Well, I owe you a great deal of appreciation for coming on the show, because you're obviously a busy man. You've got to get off to rehearsals. Have a great one tonight. I know it will be absolutely stellar. Michael, thank you so much. Michael Ball, who I'm sorry, has played more than two characters in Les Miserables, and he was in the original production. Give my best to Alfie Beau, by the way. He's a good lad. And tell him I was only teasing. I mean, actually, a lot of some of them want to get involved in that. But we need to give you some news that is coming from Reuters. Hamas saying to complete change of pace. We come back to the story that actually dominated the first hour of our conversation, which is, of course, the student protests here in the UK. Hamas saying it has now exchanged with Israel a list of prisoners and hostages proposed for release. Indirects, it also reports, Reuters reports, continue in Egypt based on Donald Trump's peace plan. Israel, as yet, refusing to comment. That comes us back, takes us back to where we started, of course, which is the conversation that we had concerning those protests yesterday. Now, LBC had a team of reporters working both in London, in Scotland, and in Birmingham, I should have said, in the three different areas. LBC's Joseph Draper caught up with protesters in central London yesterday, one of whom told him,
I think freedom will be achieved when the Israelis go back to where they were born, which is probably America, Poland.
What? So you mean leaving the State of Israel? Is that what you mean? You don't believe in a State of Israel?
No, I don't.
You don't understand why Jewish students might feel uncomfortable about that on campus today?
No.
You understand the company you're in there. You're in the company of Hamas, who want to dismantle the State of Israel. They tried to do that on October 7th. It resulted in the murder of over 1,000 Israeli Jews.
How do we know that that was not a setup? How do we know that Hamas wasn't a setup?
Now, I don't know where that young woman goes, but as I said before, our reporters were interviewing students from the University of Strathclyde. That came second in the Sunday Times list last year. SOAS in London, which is a leading university as well. And they have the views that Jews need to go back to the United States and Poland, and the October 7th attacks was possibly an inside job. These, as I said in the first hour, these young people, they're going to be bright, they wouldn't have got to university without. They are going to be running our hospitals, our schools, our police forces, our health service, possibly our country if they're politicians. Why this extraordinary lack of knowledge? Kate is in Borehamwood. Let's come back to that conversation. Katie, what would you say to that young woman? Good morning.
I think the thing for me is to be concerned about what are they learning at university. When I went to university, I actually did a politics degree. My lecturers, if anything, were teaching us to look at evidence, to be a bit more cynical. I mean, there's a lot of going on at university. I would question the lecturers. There's been questions over the university and college unions. And where is this coming from?
Where do you think it's coming from? Let me ask you.
I think it is coming from within universities. I mean, I know I've looked at America, and I wouldn't be surprised to look at British universities, at lecturers who are pushing a certain view of history. It's the same with no platforming people. I met lots of people I would have disagreed with. Mm. There were people that probably came to speak on universities you disagreed with. That was part of it. But I think this has been part of a... It's part of a more of a, this is a the correct view on things, the correct way of doing things. And this is where we've got to. I mean, I have a 16-year-old. She might well go to university.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Do you mind my asking, are you Jewish yourself? You don't have to tell me.
I am.
You are.
No,
right,
no.
Okay.
I'm Jewish. Right. I live in a big Jewish community. My kids.
Well, you are in Borehamwood. Yes, I wondered if you would be. Yeah.
Behind security gates.
Right.
I'm originally from a much smaller community from Leeds, and they have a lot of issues.
Right.
A lot coming from the university. They had a big protest yesterday. And I think we need to be looking at what is being taught and whether they're actually being taught to have a little bit more of...
But Katie, lastly, that young woman, how do we undo such ludicrous views as the Jews need to go back to the United States and Poland, and October the 7th was an inside job? How do we undo that level of thinking?
Unfortunately, I'm not sure, but I think we need to be getting at, for that generation, but for those, or for even further, but I think that we need to be looking at what is being taught, what is being allowed? What, you know, what type of
that's interesting. Yeah, is there, that's what is being allowed. Lastly, how will you choose a university for your daughter? Because I, having been involved with some Jewish charity work, I know there are some universities that Jewish people feel more comfortable with their children attend, and there are some, I want to be, I'm not going to name them, but they would actually vehemently oppose their child going to.
I mean, I think that the anti-Semitism on campus is going to be an issue, whereas when I went to university, it was just about which was the best course.
Yeah.
I mean, I recently heard the head of the Union of Jewish Students speak, and, you know, what he was saying about actually, though, how many students on campus are almost like discovering their Jewish identity and being involved in Jewish activities and so on.
I will leave it there, Katie. Look after us. Thank you. I'm already late to the news. More calls on that. And also, Ian, I know you're hanging on the line. You're going to tell us what you think Kemi Badenoch should tell the country later today. It is 9:47, LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
Hamas says it has exchanged a list of the names of Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners set to be released. Kemi Badenoch will close the Conservative Party conference with a focus on the economy. And Sir Keir Starmer is in India for trade talks, accompanied by dozens of business leaders. LBC weather, dry with sunny spells for many, some light showers in the northwest, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Lucy Knowles. One lane is closed on the M20 due to barrier repairs westbound after Junction 9 for Ashford. There are long delays on the M4 due to an accident, with one lane closed eastbound onto the elevated section before Junction 2 for Brentford. Things are slow on the M11 southbound before Junction 4 for the North Circular Road. In Sidcup, things are slow on the A20 Sidcup bypass westbound at Crittles Corner, with delays to Swanley Bypass. A lane is closed on the A3 in Tolworth. That's due to an accident southbound at the A240 Kingston Road. And on the tubes, there's no District Line service between Tower Hill and Whitechapel. That's due to a points failure at Aldgate East.
LBC's Make Some Noise.
This Friday is Make Some Noise Day, LBC's charity fundraiser helping brilliant projects right across the UK. And you can get involved with an exciting prize as you and a guest could be exclusively joining us behind the scenes at LBC. Start the day with a coffee and a Q&A with me, Nick Ferrari. Then grab your spot in the studio to watch James O'Brien in action and you'll meet him too. You'll get a private tour of the studios, global from LBC to Heart, Capital and the News Agents podcast before you catch up with Sheila Fogarty and hear about how she puts her show together. Then it's off for afternoon tea at the Soho House Hotel, and you'll get two tickets to see James O'Brien's Full Disclosure live in London on the 19th of February. To enter this competition, text the word studio to 84850. That's studio to 84850. By entering, you'll have the chance to make a voluntary £10 donation, which will be added to your phone bill. 100% goes to LBC's charity Make Some Noise. You've got until 4 p.m. on Friday the 10th of October to enter. Standard network rates apply. You must be 18 or over to enter. For full T's and C's, including prize date restrictions, visit lbc.co.uk. Good luck. Make sure you stay with LBC this Friday for Make Some Noise Day and more ways to help our fantastic charity.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
It's possible the Conservative Party is actually finished, regardless of what happens in Manchester later. Why?
James O'Brien on LBC.
Do you want to stay active but feel the need to slow down? New Seven Seas Joint Care Plus Turmeric contains a capsule filled with the UK's number one omega-3, combined with glucosamine and a tablet containing turmeric. Plus vitamin C to support cartilage, D for the maintenance of bones and muscles, and manganese to support connective tissue. To support your active lifestyle, try Seven Seas Joint Care today. Food supplements must not substitute a balanced diet and healthy lifestyle. Verify at sevenseas.co.uk.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
This year,
Amazon are increasing the electric delivery vehicles we use across Europe to 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Play Set for Life from the National Lottery. Winners get 10K every month for 30 years. You could win on repeat. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At TfL, we're helping to make bus journeys greener. Our entire bus fleet is 100% low or zero emission at the tailpipe, including those for our Superloop routes, helping improve air quality for all. And we'll have a fully zero-emission fleet by 2034. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Let's round off the suggestions, what you want to hear from the Conservative Party leader. Then we will come back to those protesters you heard on the LBC News Bulletin, this bit of news being put out by Reuters as regards the potential, the possible exchange of hostages, and sadly, of course, in some instances, the remains of some of the hostages. Ian's in Southampton, though. Back to Mrs. Badenoch. Come on, what do you want to hear in an hour and a bit? Morning.
Oh, hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, I've got this nasty cold, but frailty is not indulged. We continue.
On a very quick sidebar, I think the Sir Michael Ball segment was absolutely superb.
Oh, bless you.
From the horrors of what's going on all around. But
have you been able to see the Les Miserables?
Oh, yes.
It's the greatest show. Thank you for those kind words. Right,
do you think actually we should be playing Do You Hear the People Sing to the politicians right now?
Yes, okay. Explore that point. That's quite clever. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Now, Mr. Clacton. Yeah. He nailed
it. Nigel Clacton. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'm just bored. I'm bored of what they're saying. It's just words. All we want to do is just see some action.
On what areas?
All of it. You know, I think that migration is certainly one of it. The NHS. You know, there was a segment about how many billions the NHS has lost from people coming over on medical grounds and disappearing. You know, we just need to plug some holes in our finances.
Well, if the Home Secretary were here, she would say that they've recruited more police officers since they got in. You heard from the Water and Flooding Minister, who said that we built more flood defences. Bridget Phillips in the Education Secretary would say that we've got these breakfast clubs. They would point to this. This is what we are doing, Ian, is what they would say.
But it's not helping us financially as well, is it?
No,
really?
It's not.
That's the thing. There are so many people out there that actually they should be listening to us. But maybe, you know, it's that herd mentality of the people that are out there protesting. Potentially, is it a case that these people that are quite, you know, quite happy behind their doors, that, you know, we're British people, we don't like to complain, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What has stemmed us to stand up, or to some people to stand up and actually feel they've got a voice?
So, and is that why the F word, Mr. Farage, has done so well, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's just psychology, isn't it? And playing on people's minds all the time, as it were. And the only way you're going to defeat, I guess, any sidebars to it all is going to be with action, and actually people seeing the money in their pocket growing. It's going to see the people happier.
Lastly, one other point that Nigel the caller made, and Jane and Greg in a sense as well, my three contributors, was that they are so far away from a general election. They are so far off, even possibly even losing. It's all just a little bit empty. How fair or unfair would you say that is?
Oh, completely. You know, they can say what they want, but we're years away from, you know, I can do this, I can do that. Well, you know, you're not in power.
No.
Nothing's going to change. And it's just white noise to me.
Enjoyed our conversation, Ian. Thank you. It's always important to remind you, of course. Thanks, Ian. When you listen to the speech, most of you, those of you who are party workers, you'll get it, but
This is really a sort of rallying cry for the party faithful, although I read in virtually every newspaper there's precious few faithful up in Manchester, because they're the ones who are going to go banging on doors for the local elections in London and much of England and in Wales and in Scotland. Excuse me, sorry. So they need a sort of rallying cry. So there are two audiences, let's be honest, a fairly small audience of regular folk, for want of a better expression, who might catch it on the radio, might watch a bit of it on the telly, but then there's the people in the hall and the party workers and the party members, and that's who she has to try and inspire, perhaps. Let's close, actually, in the way we started, which was looking at those protests, reflecting the news we heard on the LBC News Bulletin from Reuters. Simon in Amersham. Simon, you want to pick up on what that student said to my colleague? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just had two immediate thoughts when I heard that clip. The first thing is that the young woman sounded as though she was possibly an international student.
Right.
And therefore, I would sincerely hope, did not reflect the views of the vast majority of people in this country.
How concerned are you that she might, though? You may well be right, sir, but...
I am extremely concerned because there is no excuse for anti-Semitism, for the hatred of Jews. It's beneath contempt. It's despicable. And I genuinely think the majority of people in this country feel that way. Mm. What I do think is worrying is that, you know, I think many of us are worried about, is that we see... Perhaps it's an invention of the media, but at the moment, many of us are very, very worried that this is spreading yet again. And it is something that should be stamped out by every legal means. I'd also just say that I hope that if that young lady was an international student, perhaps exposure to the liberal free speech approach in our universities and other institutions of learning might help move her perception from what sounded like a very narrow and very dangerous one.
I don't know if you were listening to Charles, a caller in the first hour, who said that his daughter...
No, I wasn't.
So his daughter attends a university in London, and she's so... she's a Jewish girl. She and some other Jewish girls are so frightened at times, they're plotting an escape route out of the university if it kicks off.
And I'm appalled to have to say that if that was my daughter in that situation, I'd want her to be as sensible. And that is something, you know, all sections of our society, it always possible, we've absolutely got to stamp at what is the root of this, because the two things are being conflated.
I must leave it there. Simon, you had the last word. Apologies to Dave, to John, to Yola and others. I'm done for another day. I'm sure tomorrow we'll be reflecting on, to use that modern word, what we hear from Kemi Badenoch today. But that is it for today's show. James O'Brien's the other side of the news on LBC. I'm with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, do stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and as we have established in recent years, my memory's not really up to the job of being able to make sweeping comments about things that we might or might not have done in the past. But I don't think today that I am minded to cross live to Manchester when the leader of the Conservative Party, His Majesty's official opposition, takes to her feet to deliver a speech. I'm open to persuasion. I may well change my mind. But I think my reluctance speaks about the broader demise of the entire Conservative Party. And I say that with no sense of celebration. Not least because it runs a very real risk of being replaced by something obviously and politically hideous. But why is that party in such dire straits?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Hamas says it has exchanged with Israel a list of prisoners and hostages proposed for release under a Gaza peace deal. Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and special envoy Steve Witkoff are set to join negotiations taking place in Egypt. Israel hasn't commented, but Hamas says there is a spirit of optimism in Sharm el-Sheikh. Mr. Trump told reporters yesterday that a deal is very close.
We're in... very serious negotiations to, I guess you could say, depending on the way you count, 3,000 years. You could say 500 years. You could say, but that it's been raging for a long time. And I think there's a possibility that we could have peace in the Middle East. It's something even beyond the Gaza situation.
Israel's military says it's intercepted another nine aid boats bound for Gaza. Authorities say 145 activists are being brought to shore in Israel for processing and will be deported soon. The government has rejected claims it was responsible for the collapse of a high-profile Chinese spying trial. Critics say ministers are reluctant to designate China a national security threat because they are trying to build relations with Beijing. The case against two men, including a former parliamentary researcher, was dropped last month. LBC's political correspondent is Aggie Chambray.
This is an extraordinary intervention from the Director of Public Prosecution, Stephen Parkinson. And he has said the case collapsed because evidence could not be obtained from the government referring to China as a national security threat. And the argument that Keir Starmer is making is China would have had to be referred to as a national security threat when the charges were actually brought, which was, of course, during the Conservative government.
The Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, is due to deliver her closing speech to the Conservative Party conference in Manchester. Her address is expected to focus on the economy. She will set out a golden rule that half of money saved from cuts must go towards reducing the deficit. Two teenagers are being questioned after a cyber attack at a London-based nursery chain. The suspects, both 17-year-old boys, were detained in Bishop Stortford on suspicion of computer misuse and blackmail. Kiddo's data, about 8,000 children, was reportedly held to ransom. Dozens of museums in England are to receive a share of £20 million to help them stay open. The government says its Museum Renewal Fund will ensure communities have access to culture for generations to come. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was at 95.14. That's up 30. The pound buys $1.33 and the euro 15. LBC weather dry with sunny spells for many places. A few light showers in the northwest. A high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays. Make money work for you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10, you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where, I mean, look, we've done variations on this in the past. Listen, if you want to get in early, then you know the number, 03456060973. The question at the moment that I get to asking you in about 10 minutes' time, or shortly after that, will be a variation on the theme of whether or not the Conservative Party, as we have known it for all of our lives, is to all intents and purposes finished. That will be the question. I'm not going to do the show based on the presumption that it is, which we may have done in the past. I don't know that we have, but it is, I think it closes down some interesting lines of inquiry, not least what a resurrection would look like, or what a revivification, that's one of my favourite words, you may have noticed, would look like. But that's where we will be at the end of this monologue. So you don't necessarily need to listen to it in order to have a valid contribution to make, which is not always the case. Of course, I reserve the right to change the question in the course of my own pontifications and ponderings, but as things stand at the moment, I'll be asking you whether or not it is your party, if it is your party, or the one of only two major parties that you have known for most of your life, unless, of course, you're in Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland, but even then, it's called the Conservative and Unionist Party for reasons. Is it actually over, and if so, why? All right? Possibly even who, if we were going to pin it on one person, who would that person be? Because it wouldn't be Kemi Badenoch, I don't think, would it? And that will be the second part, I think, of your contributions today. I don't want you to ring me in exclusively addressing the question of whether or not we should take the speech live shortly after 11:15 today, but I'm going to add that to the mix because the confusion that I feel is absolutely real. And listen, I may get a bit personal and mischievous and cheeky in the course of this morning, but right now I'm just speaking to you completely authentically. I don't know. I don't know whether there is an objective case for crossing live to Manchester to listen to the death throes, certainly, of a political leadership as opposed to a political party. I don't know. I find, as you know, much of what she does truly ridiculous, but much of what she represents feels to me politically and historically, even perhaps democratically important. Okay? So, I say Conservative leader, who's the first person you think of? It's going to depend partly on your age. Who is the first person that you think of? The first Conservative leader that you think of? You're going to go for Margaret Thatcher. You're going to go for David Cameron, possibly. If you are a lifelong Labour supporter, you might go for Liz Truss. That's the way you go. I've got a 25-year-old colleague who's gone immediately for David Cameron. I think I would probably go for Margaret Thatcher, so it's going to be pretty boring, this experiment, if it depends entirely on your age. Another 25-year-old colleague said immediately Theresa May. It's just a little thought experiment. All of these people popping into your head were leaders of the Conservative Party. And then how about a leader of the Conservative Party who didn't end up Prime Minister? Who are you going to think of then? Pretty tricky, actually. In recent years, they've all had a go. But I mean, if you're a political anorak, if you possibly did a degree or an A level in it, you probably go for William Hague. Do you know? I nearly said Alec Douglas Hume then, but he was Prime Minister. He used to be the byword for leadership failure in the Conservative Party because he inherited the mantle of both leader and Prime Minister, and then lost the subsequent election. William Hague is the leader that most people think of now, as opposed to perhaps Michael Howard. I'm just pointing out that these are not political jokes. Ian Duncan Smith, tricky. And that actually might be part of the problem, part of the question that we're asking, because Ian Duncan Smith was objectively disastrous as leader of the Conservative Party, but because of Brexit, which is no doubt going to feature in our conversation this morning, he was able to reinvent himself as some sort of statesman, despite being a byword for incompetence, idiocy and fantasy CVs. That's part of the problem, perhaps. I don't know, because it's a ruthless machine. They got rid of him when it became clear that he was not going to get close to winning a general election. He didn't even get the chance to fight one. Michael Howard was a good leader, not least because he accepted his fate and put so much effort as leader into preparing the party for the election after the one he knew he was going to lose. He might not want to thank him for it, but he's the guy that put David Cameron, George Osborne and the rest of them in place, in pole position for the inheritance that would follow. Haven't mentioned Boris Johnson yet, and it's nearly 10 past 10. Boris Johnson, if we were to confine our conversation to the who's of it rather than the whys, would no doubt be writ large. And yet it's 2025. It is only 6 years since he was carried into Parliament on the shoulders of a grateful nation. Kind of. Again, the curse of Cassandra, being a political...